It's The Huddle. Powered in part by Buffalo Wild Wings, Burlington and Plattsburgh. Wings, beer, sports. And by Able Paint, Glass and Flooring. If you need it, they've got it. They're Able. AbleVT.com. And by Reuben James, Main Street, Burlington. Online at RJSBurlington.com. The Huddle is now on 101.3 The Game, 101.3TheGame.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, all accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Woohoo!
Friday, baby.
I know this Friday.
No, Brady's shocked I said that.
No, yeah. I'm excellent. I'm great today.
I needed this Friday.
What would that be?
It's been a long week.
Arnie wouldn't let us talk about it at the beginning. We have to talk about something else first. But okay. In 3 minutes, I'll tell you why I'm really happy.
Okay, well, we just did our first five-day work week in a month?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Well, and you're never here because you were in Orlando.
I'm never here because I took a week off a month
ago.
You
are never here.
You were in Orlando. You haven't been here, it felt like, for a long time.
But it's true. This was our first five-day work week in a month, and I'm exhausted. Well, I'm ready to go out, though, I'll tell you that.
I just want to give you a little bit of, part of my world, what I deal with on a daily basis.
Oh, get out the violins.
Just so you think I'm sitting around doing nothing.
Okay.
So, because I get calls like this every... I'm going to play something for my voicemail. It should be loud enough for me to put it on speakerphone.
Okay.
But let me... This is from my mom.
So, you're going to have to put it up to the microphone.
Yeah, I'm going to put it...
So this is part of your busy day talking to your mother?
Yeah, listen to this.
Okay.
Hit the button.
I did. Wait. Here.
This is great radio.
Shh.
Okay.
Please.
Wait, let me play that again.
What? Sounds like she's in anguish.
Yeah, she is.
Call me right away. It's an emergency. Please.
Call me right away.
This is an emergency.
Run DMC.
No, I feel like I'm talking about intern Aaron.
Yeah, we should play the game now. Who's more audible, Aaron or Arnie's mother?
She says, call me immediately. It's an emergency.
She sounded frantic. Is she all right?
I haven't called her back yet, but no, I'm just going to stop.
What? Let me guess. Price is Right went out and she couldn't get it back?
No. You know, this is, and I guess she has a little bit of right to be frantic. But, you know, this is just people scamming the elderly. So I go, okay, Mom, what's the problem? Because I already know there's no emergency.
I'd be terrified if anyone in my family had that tone of voice
on
the
phone. Call me now. It's an emergency.
That's never happened in my life. And I'd be driving to wherever they were.
I get that once every 2 days.
Ugh.
Either the TV's out or something like that. Price is Right's not on. This one was... my niece Samantha is in jail.
Okay.
And I'm like, how do you know she's in jail? They called me. I have to send money. I go, because you sending money is going to get her out of jail, right?
Bail?
Yeah, wouldn't it?
What is wrong with you guys?
Well, I'm not saying it's not a scam. I'm just saying it's believable that money would get someone out of prison.
What, the police would say, send money? Or they would say, we got your niece in jail. Two, my niece isn't dumb enough to say, call my grandma, who can't even cross the street. She would call her parents. If she didn't want her parents to know, she'd call me, a friend. The last person she's doing is calling a 90-year-old lady who's blind and deaf. Come bail me out from a jail in Ohio?
No, you said you didn't say Ohio.
Yeah, they were in Ohio. She goes to school in Ohio. They're like, yes. And she said it was a girl. She goes, Grandma, I'm in jail. You need to send $1,000 now.
I can't think of enough awful things I want to see happen to that girl.
So you did a poor job setting this up. So a young girl called your grandmother
and
claimed to be your niece.
She said she was in jail.
Okay. So then that... is perfectly... Now, look, I agree with you. Obviously, it's a scam, but...
Of course.
At least you could conceivably understand how you could get that phone call.
No. No, you can't.
Let's call the blind deaf woman.
You can't. Yeah, let's... First of all...
The question is, what was the number? Did it come from a prison or did it come from 1-800-scammers.com?
Because we're not at my mom's. But two, we're not at my mom's house. My brother's going to have to go over there later on and, look at the... I'm sure it's, Hell, it could be one of my relatives, for all I know. It's trying to scare my mom.
Is there a chance that your niece could be
no,
in jail?
No, because I called her. She was having lunch at the time I called her.
Was she having lunch at the jail?
No. Okay. Chris says, same thing happened to my mother about my brother's son.
They will
scam you every way possible, man. I'm telling you.
At least she answered the call
from the
weird number, unlike Rich.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I got it 100 times in a month.
People are asking, did you call your niece? Yes, people, just for the chance that it was 1% true and my niece was dumb enough to call my mom and ask her for $1,000 to get out of jail for whatever she did. By the way, you don't just say, send me $1,000 so I can get out of jail. You know, sometimes you got to put like bail. You know, it's a little bit more than that. It's a little bit more of a process than that.
Chris in Missouri says, hey, Arnie, I went through the same thing with my mother for years. She would call around 20 times a day.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what. And every single time it was an earth-shattering emergency.
Oh, yeah.
I feel for you, brother.
Oh, yeah. You heard her. She was frantic. It's an emergency.
The poor woman.
Call
These
now.
These people are scum of the earth.
So, you know, I finished my lunch and then I called. All right, so.
How do you sleep at night doing that to old people? I mean, really?
Because.
Just asking.
Oh, they scam a lot of
people.
People
can stomach a lot of things.
You'd be surprised how many old people get scammed on something like that. It's insane.
Well, I'll tell you what. Every time my phone rings now, I answer it.
Hey, can we?
Yes.
Arnie, are you good at sound effects?
No, but Rich is.
Rich, are you good at sound effects?
I don't know. I'll try.
Can you make something that sounds like a champagne cork popping?
Oh, jeez. No. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
It was like, who farted?
Well, we have some good news.
Yes, we do.
We just got called into the boss's office.
Yeah, and it's actually for a good reason.
We found out, I can't believe I'm saying this, we found out that The Huddle is the number one rated show in our entire listening area. The number from 3 to 6 p.m.,
yeah,
we are the most listened to show in the entire area. We beat every other talk station. We beat every music station. So basically, I'm just saying,
yeah,
thank you to you. Not even clapping.
You're welcome.
For,
you're welcome.
Oh, stop.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
We're
going to
be number nine.
I was going
to
say, you should be thanking the listeners.
Yes. Oh.
And apparently there's a bleep load of them.
Well, we are thanking the listeners. We're not clapping for ourselves. We thank you.
Sorry, Arnie.
Thought I was clapping for me.
No. We thank you for making us the number one rated afternoon show. Here I am trying to be sappy and nice and emotional and vulnerable. But this station has existed for 9 years now, Rich. Never once has the afternoon show been number one in the market. We did it after 3 years together. Number one in the market. Yeah. So thank you to our listeners. Those of you who filled out the survey saying that you listened to us, thank you for doing that. And we appreciate it because, seriously, number one is a big deal to us, and it's made possible because of you.
Yeah, and the fact is, the inside scoop on this is that in radio, in this small radio market, we get ratings twice a year. And we get it in the fall, and we get it in the spring. And the fall book, as it's called, the ratings period, just came out, and we got all the numbers. I couldn't believe it. I just thought, they tend to go towards music formats, you know, just because it's safer. You know, you hear a song, and, oh, I like that, and blah, blah, blah. But to be number one with a sports talk show, and believe me, I've been doing this as long, 40 years or whatever, 41 now, I guess it's a new year. And I am shocked that a sports format could be number one in a market this small. And Burlington is a very small market.
And Plattsburgh.
And Plattsburgh, obviously, the whole Champlain Valley. But that's a real conquest when a sports talk show format can be number one ahead of every other station for that part of the day is amazing to me.
Yeah, I love to say that. I knew the numbers yesterday. Look, it bothers Brady. I didn't know all the numbers, but I knew they were really, really good. But I didn't want to say
it. What, do you have a mole in the building?
Not in this building. I promise you that. Not in this building. I actually know people at Arbitron, and my old boss works there.
Why don't you tell us?
Well, they want to tell you yourself. My old boss is actually one of the big honchos at Arbitron, but that's beside the point.
No, you're right. If we'd gone into the boss's office a half an hour ago, and we would have said, oh, we already knew that.
Yeah,
but thanks
he
anyway.
Wanted to tell him anyway. But you know what's so funny is we were number one in men and women combined, which is because I'm good looking.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm more than just eye candy, but, you know, we give a lot. But that is kind of good that we're number one combined. Usually, if we were ever going to be number one, it would usually be men.
But we're
number one in men and number one in men and women combined. So obviously, it's a lot of sex appeal going on.
Obviously.
Now.
I mean, look at you. You're a Greek god. I've said that.
It could be rich now that he's wearing his new clothes.
Either that or maybe it's a coincidence. A year and a half, I think we were 10 among women, and now we go to Orange Theory, and now we're whoom.
Yeah, all of a sudden, we can't get away from them. They're
understand that.
But really, I can't tell you how amazing this is. I just almost fell on the floor when the boss told us this, because with sports radio, and see, tell me if you agree with this, everybody's either massively passionate about it or couldn't give a bleep about it and would never listen. And that's what's so amazing. You have an audience that's passionate or zero, and that's very hard to get number one when you have half your audience who doesn't even care.
Yeah, well, can I just read this one? It says here, don't flatter yourselves. There's nothing else to listen to.
But thanks, man.
But in all seriousness, I'm not a New England sports fan, but I still tune into you guys every day. Keep up the great work,
look,
boys.
It's funny that he says that there's nothing else to listen to.
There's 22 stations in this town.
We're not saying, hey, we beat all the other sports stations that don't exist.
Yeah, I don't think you understand.
We beat everything. We beat music stations. We beat other talk stations. And seriously, we do thank you because you guys make it. Look, we have fun on our own here. This is a fun job to have. But interacting with you guys, those of you who have called in, texted in, interacted with the show on Facebook, on Twitter, those of you who have sent in emails asking us questions, things like that, you have all helped us get to this point, because without your feedback, without your comments, without your engagement, we don't have as much content to talk about. You guys help us get a lot of content and a lot of things that you're talking about or things that we talk about. So I especially am appreciative of all of you who took the time to reach out in some way. And we're all number one. And as corny as that sound, the huddle feels like it's our own group of listeners here together, and we're all number one. So thank you.
I'd be happy if I got my parking spot back.
Yeah,
Adam and Wilson said it's because your national content sucks, but you guys are great. Everyone isn't tired of sports by the afternoon.
Actually,
you guys are the best, though. That's funny you bring that up.
Funny you bring that up, because our whole station for the entire day
is also number one.
So our national content doesn't suck, because Clay, Dan, Colin, and us were all number one. So we thank you for listening all day long.
This is a sports town. Man, I had no idea.
We came in talking about us because we're in the huddle, but if you want to go nationally, we were number one for the entire day. Thank you.
Justin says, I've been listening since Robin Rich days.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Even I haven't. Oh, wait a minute.
Let's see here. There was another one I wanted to read to. I got lost. There's a lot coming in. I started listening to you guys every day a year ago. I got five other people hooked on your show, too.
Nice.
Congrats and great job. Continue the great work. That's Joe in Essex out there.
Oh, you're the man.
Appreciate that, Joe. And, how come I did get my parking? I should get my parking spot back now that we're number one. And on the parking spot, it should say Arnie Spanier, number one.
Well, one thing I did appreciate about your parking spot the other day out front, which you hate, of course, having to walk the extra 10 feet.
That
in
does
this
bother
horrible
me,
weather.
Yeah.
You barreled through a snowbank the other day, and
yes,
you know what
I
it did? It cleared a walking path for me to get to the parking lot. So thank you for being so irresponsible.
I won't go around. I won't do that. That kind of aggravated me.
Jason in Williston, 5-day-a-week listener since 2013. Thank you, man. That's awesome.
Jeff, the sales guy, kicking ass, boys. Keep it up. Big things in 2020. Oh, I'll be getting on the salespeople soon. Don't worry about that.
Oh, my God. Can you just enjoy the one?
No. I prefer to be miserable. I was going to actually say, I don't think we could pull this off again, so we better enjoy it now.
Did you notice he acted like he couldn't have cared less during the meeting when the numbers came out?
He looked like he was about
asleep.
I know.
I fell asleep. How about that? In the middle of the numbers,
you just looked like you
my
couldn't
eyes
care
were closed.
Less.
I thought I was snoring. Yeah, I fell asleep on that. I don't. Usually, I prefer confrontation before a good meeting. So
he wants to lose.
Come on, say something bad about us.
He's so used to losing with his sports teams, he wants to continue it in life.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't really paying attention to him. That's why I said, "Can you send me the email?" Because I wasn't paying attention to what you said.
God, why do you have to?
It's the truth.
It's an act.
He was sitting right next to me. Did I not have my eyes closed?
You just looked like you couldn't have cared less.
Every time
I was thinking about what I'm going to do tonight is what I was thinking.
Well, me
about.
Too, because I was going to go Ubering tonight, but now I may need an Uber instead. This is cause for celebration.
Now that you're an
me.
Even bigger star than you were yesterday. So.
Who knew?
Hey, we thank you all for the support.
Yes.
We appreciate it. 3 hours to go in this show. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/1013thegame. Matt Verderave, a fan side. In 15 minutes, we'll get into the matchups this weekend. How about this alternative for the Patriots at quarterback making the rounds? And Howard Cross, former New York Giants tight end, Super Bowl champion, he's going to join us at 5:15. But first, so So remember Thursday night?
Yeah.
Wednesday night when the Celtics played the Spurs in Boston. Yep. And they ended up losing that game by 15 points.
Awful game.
But after Kemba got ejected, that fan threw the beer on the court. Now, it ended up being a hard seltzer, not a beer. So whatever.
There's a difference.
So a 22-year-old fan, a 22-year-old Massachusetts native, threw the hard seltzer on the court. Didn't hit anybody, but it exploded near the Spurs bench, and a cleanup crew was required to come out and take care of it. He received a lifetime ban from TD Garden. So he throws the alcohol, the can, on the floor, doesn't hit anybody, explodes the can, or makes a mess near the Spurs bench. Lifetime ban. 802-655-6672. Is that too harsh of a punishment for this fan for throwing something on the floor, Rich?
Well, I would say absolutely not. I'm surprised. I mean, he may end up in jail for it, too. You just cannot do that in this day and age. You do that.
But you just said it was too much of a punishment. Is that what you said?
No. I'm not saying it's too much at all. The guy, my question is, how do you enforce it?
That's a good question. A lot of people are asking.
I mean, the guy's name is 22-year-old Justin Arnold from Everett, Massachusetts. How do you know the guy walking in with a ticket in his hand is Justin Arnold? Do they have
facial
pictures?
Recognition? There's
20,000 people walking in.
They do that at the Super Bowl. That's what they. I mean, I don't know if they do it for every game in every sport. I have no idea, but I know they do it for the Super Bowl because they try to catch people out there. The only thing is, if he would have hit somebody with a full can of salsa, you could seriously hurt somebody, and that's what I'm thinking. Their thought process was in giving a penalty like this.
Right, but your point, Brady, is this enough? Is that what you're saying? Because
I mean,
as far as the lifetime ban, sure enough, the guy had to have paid $1,000 to have a ticket that close to courtside.
No, I'm not asking. Is it? I'm asking if it's too harsh a punishment.
Okay, I would say no, absolutely not. And he was probably hammered. I mean, this is going to end up fairly predictable, I think.
You know what, though? I don't want to be a hypocrite because last year I told you that the young kid should have been given a lifetime ban at Gillette Stadium for throwing the beer on Tyreek Hill, but I guess I'm going to be a little bit of a hypocrite. A lifetime ban feels a little bit too harsh here. And look, he didn't hit anybody. And I know a lot of people want to say, oh, well, just because he didn't hit anybody doesn't make it better. I can see that side of it, but we are a society that when worse things happen, the punishment increases. Tyreek Hill was actually contacted by this fan and had the beer poured directly on him. That I think is completely inappropriate. This is a 22-year-old kid. He did something dumb. He did something he shouldn't have done. But now you're going to punish him for the rest of his life to where he can't take his own kid someday.
We punish the fan more than we punish the player. And I don't know if this is apples to apples, but I mean, like, trust me, we'll choke this coach. Got, like, what, 10 days or something? 10 games.
I think he got the rest of the season.
Well,
but
it wasn't that much, but I mean, it wasn't for the rest of his life or anything like that.
Is being banned from the Garden really harsh? I mean, I haven't been to a game at the Garden in 20
years. That's not the point.
But how many games did you go to with your dad growing up? A lot.
But never at 22. It was all before I was 17.
Fine, but now you're taking away the ability for him to take his own kid there.
It's not pretty like he was saying, oh, I hate this call. I'm going to throw this bottle into an empty section of the court. I mean, he just as easily could have pelted a guy.
But he didn't.
Just pure luck.
Did he say anything? Did the guy who got banned come out with any comment?
He has not.
Well, maybe if he would have come out with a comment, he would have saved himself a little bit.
Look, if you ban him for the rest of the year, you are never going to hear the end of it on social media. You're walking a slippery slope here.
What about 5 years? What about 10 years? Okay, you're telling me this guy's 22 years old. He could realistically go to games until he's 80. He's going to get a 60-year ban from Celtics games, Bruins games, concerts, plays, political rallies, whatever's at TD Garden. He's going to get banned for 60 years. I don't condone throwing things. It's in the code of conduct. The fan code of conduct with the NBA, you cannot throw things on the floor. But it does not implicitly state that throwing things on the floor is automatically a lifetime ban. I feel like there's got to be some wiggle room here.
How about this Doug, who used to be formerly Doug in Hinesburg, now Doug in Underhill. He goes, in 1998, I went to Ozzy Osbourne concert at
Van Andel Arena. It's in GR.
Yeah. In Grand Rapids, Michigan. Yeah. Ozzy, I just lost it, guys. Help me.
Was throwing water balloons at the crowd. I caught one and threw it back at him. I missed, but I received a lifetime ban from Van Andel Arena.
See, that's ridiculous. That sounds like fun. You know, if you're throwing water balloons at the crowd, you're throwing them back.
Ozzy wants you to throw things at him.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because after the game, after that game on Wednesday, this is what Brad Stevens said.
You know, I do think I probably should have started by saying, you know, it's you know, I'm sure the Celtics have already addressed this as an organization, but if not, then, you know, I apologize to the Spurs for what happened out of the stands, and that can be enthroned. I told Pop after the game, I'm really sorry that they had to experience that. I hope that person's not allowed in an NBA arena again.
Hopefully he apologized to the fans who paid any amount of money to watch that performance by his team.
So Brad Stevens says after the game, I hope that fan is not allowed in an arena again. Do you think the punishment was made worse because Stevens called essentially for this ban?
Well, he's not going to say it was no big deal. Let's not make a mountain out of a molehill.
No, but he could have easily just said, I'm sorry to Pop. I hope the Celtics deal with this. You know, I hope the Celtics deal with this or rectify this or whatever. He's obviously close with Pop, USA Basketball, all that. Pop's a coaching legend. Stevens, I can see, admires him. They have a great relationship. You know, a lot of Celtics played for Pop this year for Team USA at the World Championships. But part of me wonders if Stevens hadn't said that, if maybe we wouldn't have this. The one thing I'll say, I do think it's harsh. It's consistent with Boston in general. That fan who threw the beer on Tyreek Hill, he got a lifetime ban from Gillette Stadium. The fan who used racial slurs at Fenway against Adam Jones, he got a lifetime ban. So I also wonder if part of this is the Celtics trying to keep up with the Joneses in terms of the rest of Boston. But potentially 60 years, all events at TD Garden, that feels a little bit extreme to me for a 22-year-old who clearly did something.
I just think about what it was like in the 70s at the Boston Garden, you know, when the big bad Bruins and the Celtics, people were throwing stuff on the floor all the time. The chain smokers are constant. I mean, there was no rules back then. It's just, but nowadays, in this day and age, with the PC Patrol out with their claws all the time, you've got to be very careful, and you've got to be very, what's the opposite of lenient? I mean, you've got to be really firm with your decision about these things.
What was the penalty for the guys that the hockey players that went over the glass and started attacking the fans?
Oh, O'Reilly and Milbury and all those guys.
It wasn't a lifetime ban.
No,
I know
it sure
that,
wasn't.
But and that was a lot harsher than throwing a seltzer onto the court. What was their penalty? Do you know?
No idea. I could look it up.
Yeah,
Not much.
I was about to say they didn't even probably get 10 games.
Now,
you're
talking about the players that jumped up into the Madison Square Garden.
The guy, the one player took off the guy. Shoe and started beating them up with his own shoe.
Yeah, Peter McNabb was involved in that.
Exactly.
That's great.
You know, do you get the same penalty, Brady, if you go into the stands and you're a player? They didn't get the penalty at all. You can't give them a lifetime.
No, I understand. It feels harsh. I don't know what the alternative is, but 10-year ban, something like that, that feels good. Taking away the ability for this guy to go with his kids down the line at 55 years old, I got to think that doesn't need to be the case.
Read what Lester wrote. He goes, he can't take his kid there. Sounds like a good life lesson. Son, we can't go to the Celtics game because I was an idiot.
I'll say it again. I assume he doesn't even remember it. He probably doesn't. Steve in South Burlington says, my buddy shot a bottle rocket off at a Ted Nugent show in the New Haven Coliseum in high school. But that fits with a Ted Nugent concert.
Yeah, did you get
who's Ted Nugent?
Ted Nugent's the Motor City Madman, baby. Come on. You don't remember him? Tango.
How old is this? Should I know who this is?
70s.
Okay,
yeah,
then I
know Ted Nugent.
No, I know who Evel Knievel is. There's 70s knowledge
Ted Nugent,
that I have.
He's the guy that does the hunting, too, right?
Yes. He's a crazy hunter.
I know who Fonzie is.
Cat scratch fever.
Hey, Ross brings
I've
up a good
of
point.
That.
That's him.
Sounds like a bad disease.
What happens if the Celtics and Bruins got a new sports complex? It would not be the TD Bank anymore.
That's a good. I wonder if that's right. I don't know. That's a good question. He says it tongue in cheek, but if they got a new facility, would the ban carry over, or is it solely just the TD Garden?
Well, they didn't say. They said every Bruins game, every Celtics game.
And Isaac's hammering you. How could you possibly not know who Ted Nugent is? So
because I'm 30 years old.
He is the Motor City Madman. You have to know that.
I'm 30 years old, not 55.
Yeah, but you got to know who Ted Nugent is. He's a nut.
He's the Motor City Madman.
This means nothing
to me.
Well,
you keep saying that, but doesn't really tell who he is.
Is he a stunt guy like Evel Knievel?
Rock and roll. He's a screaming guitarist.
He's one of those guys, but he also is very big on politics, too.
Yes.
So he throws his 2 cents every...
Okay, so I probably wouldn't like him then. I don't like people that do that.
If you read him on Twitter...
Yeah, don't talk to him about gun control.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness. He's on every situation, everything. Matter of fact, he actually has a bar right across Bank One Ballpark in Phoenix, whatever they call it now.
Chase Field.
Yep. He has a bar, I think, across the street.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, so, or at least he used to. But yeah, yeah, that guy's a little bit off the walls anyway. We all know that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Then I don't really care to know who he is.
Oh, he's scratch fever.
You're giving me an older musician.
He goes when he goes hunting for animals, he goes with a bow.
An older musician who talks politics. I think I'll
Wango Tango. No,
I think I'll pass. No,
okay. He's hardcore.
I know Neil Young. There's some 70s musicians that talk politics. How's that?
Nathan says, how do they enforce the ban? They don't card everyone that comes
in. That
was
my original question.
Yeah, and we said facial recognition because they have that in the Super Bowl, but I don't know. If they have that at every game, you would think they have that technology.
Yeah. Oh, there's that guy from Everett. There's Justin from Everett. Don't let him in. I mean, that just seems like it's going to be tough to apply.
There's Rich. He's bad luck. Don't let him in. 802-655-6672 if you want to go ahead and jump on in. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Matt Verderam, NFL Director, fansided.com. He helps us break down the Giants hiring of Joe Judge, what's next for the Pats, and the divisional round.
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 of the game.
With studios powered by Vermont Federal Credit Union, where you'll find the tools, resources, and know-how you need to score big with your financial future. Check them out today at VermontFederal.org. This is 101.3, The Game. 101.3, The Game Weather.
It's a mostly cloudy day Friday with light rain showers passing by as our temperatures surge into the 40s. Winds are blustery out of the south, 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, light rain showers continue with temps staying steady in the 40s. Saturday, rain becomes more widespread and heavy to the north and west during the afternoon, making the changeover to freezing rain and sleet during the evening. Travel will be difficult through the day Sunday. With your forecast on 101.3 The Game, I'm meteorologist Haley Boulay with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
He's sometimes wrong.
Former UVM star Bernie Slepicki.
He's sometimes really wrong.
Former UVM hoop star Bernie Slepicki.
But he's always entertaining.
What are you going to do when we talk to him?
I'll call him Bernie.
It's Arnie Spanier.
I'm dead on 99.9% of the time.
On The Huddle on 101.3, The Game.
All right, welcome back. You're in The Huddle. 101.3, The Game. It is a busy Friday. So much going on a Football Talk Friday. Guys, let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, NFL Director at fansided.com, it's Matt Verderam. How you doing, Matt?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're awesome. And, you know, usually we get right into the Patriots, but we got some time to talk about them. Let's start with the Giants. They get a new hiring. Joe Judge is their coach. What did you think about? What do you think about the hiring? What did you think about the press conference? You want to run through a wall for the guy. What did you think overall?
You know, I thought he certainly was inspiring. He was, I think, you know, somebody that the fans are really going to like because he's that kind of, you know, fire and brimstone, let's go after him, let's go get it type mentality. And that certainly plays in that market in New York and New Jersey. I am a little dubious, though, if I'm being honest, about this idea of Dillman talking about why he sold me when he talked about, you know, we got to stop the run. We got to run the ball. And look, I'm not one of these people who doesn't believe that running backs don't matter or that running the ball doesn't matter. I still think it matters, but it matters less than the passing game. And if the Giants, who just took Daniel Jones sixth overall, are going to turn into a 1992 football team, I'm concerned about that. So, look, we don't know a ton about Joe Judge. I think you've got to give him a chance. You're going to see how he develops his staff. I think that's really critical for him. They've got to get some veteran guys in there. It can't be a bunch of first-time guys. You know, he's got to have a staff around him who supports him. But I do think that, you know, he's going to be able to motivate guys. The question is this all about running the ball and stopping the run? If it's that, I'm concerned about that direction.
Matt, they've got the fourth pick next year. A lot of cap space. I mean, you know, they've got key guys in places they need to have key guys who are young. Can the Giants actually turn this thing around quicker than maybe a lot of people expect?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the NFL is built for turning it around quickly. I mean, look at the playoffs right now. 7 of the 8 teams that are in the divisional round this weekend were not in it a year ago. Huh. And I believe 5 of the teams weren't even in the playoffs. I have to double check that. But like, you can turn around very quickly in the NFL. And make no mistake, the Giants have some talent on that team. With Jones, He looked like a rookie. He made a lot of rookie mistakes. He also made some really nice plays. There's a lot to be excited about. Barkley's a stud. You've got weapons in the passing game. Ingram's a good tight end. Sterling Shepard's a good receiver. Slayton looks like a hell of a pick. They have Golden Tate. So, look, the Giants, they're not bereft of talent. This isn't a team you look at and go, my God, they're going to have to build for 3 years or they can even make the playoffs. And the division's awful. So, no, I think the Giants can turn around, but I would caution in free agency, though, be careful, because a lot of times these teams sign these huge guys. Use Giants as an example. Nate Solder, Olivier Vernon. It's not always great to blow a ton of money, but I do think they can improve themselves if they're smart.
Matt, we saw three head coaches get hired in the NFC East. Joe Judge, Mike McCarthy, Ron Rivera. Which of the teams made the best hire in your mind?
I think Washington did. And that's not a knock, really, on either of the other two. But I really like Rivera. He's a leader of men. He's got an incredible amount of respect throughout the league. They will be able to get free agents there easily now, or at least easier compared to what it's been. And, you know, I also look at the Rivera hiring as a tandem thing, because they also got rid of Bruce Allen. Bruce Allen was a disaster. You talk to people around the league, and there are a lot of people who would say, like, they were impossible to deal with because of him. He's now gone. They bring Rivera in. He's going to be the proverbial bolt in the room. Look, they're going to take some time to rebuild. I think they're less talented than the Giants are. And I like the quarterback in New York better than I do in Washington. But I think Rivera is a good, solid hire, and he's going to get that team going in the right direction. But the Cowboys, I'm of two minds. I'll be honest, I don't really have a strong opinion on McCarthy one way or the other. If he learns from his mistakes, it could be a really good hire. If he goes in there and he's the same guy he was the last 4 or 5 years with the Packers, they're not much better. So it really depends on how much McCarthy matured over the years out of the game.
Matt Verderam, NFL Director, fansided.com, with us here on this Friday, 101.3 The Game, 103thegame.com. Let's get to the Patriots, who aren't playing in this round, which is something shocking to all of us.
No.
Were you surprised by what you saw last week, Matt, against the Titans?
I was surprised they lost, because, you know, we talked last week, and I just expected that they would find some way to win, because that's who they are, that's what they do. I did think they would get beat pretty handily this weekend. But as that game wore on, I felt like I shouldn't be surprised at all. Like, I wasn't surprised at the style of the game. New England can't score a point. Can't score. I mean, ultimately, like, everybody talks about Derrick Henry. The Titans threw the ball for 75 yards and scored 14 offensive points. Their offense was terrible. Like, yeah, Henry ran the ball over it, but they didn't care. This is Belichick. Go back to Super Bowl 25 and he's the Giants' defensive coordinator. He purposely let Thurman Thomas run all over the place. He didn't care. His game plan was so good, it's now in the Hall of Fame. So they played the exact same way 30 years later against a different opponent. Their defense did the job, but I wasn't surprised. You know, Brady couldn't move the ball. The only thing that surprised me in that game was Edelman's drop on that, what, 2nd and 6?
Yeah.
That was shocking. That was the point in the game when I said they're going to lose. Because that play just never goes against them. When he dropped that ball, they have no margin for error. Look, I think Brady's still a good quarterback, a really good quarterback at times. But he has nobody around him. And at this point in his career, he needs help.
Matt, then outside of Tom Brady, then what's the biggest storyline in the offseason for this team?
You know, I think it kind of ties into Brady, because doesn't everything at this point.
Of course, yes, it does.
I think, what are the other free agents in New England? What are their fates? Because everybody's been talking about Brady. Well, Kyle Van Noy's free agent. Devin McCourty, who's been the face of that defense for a decade or so, free agent. Jamie Collins, who plays very, very well, free agent. Joe Thuney, who I would argue is their best offensive lineman right now, free agent. Karras, the center, who obviously stepped in for the injured David Andrews, who we don't know what's going on with him. Karras is a free agent. There's a lot of guys. And if they pay Brady, even, let's say, $25 million a year, they're not going to have money to keep most of those guys. They're not going to, you know, it's not like a little long-term deal where you can kind of have a little funny money in the NFL and you can move. That cap hit's going to be about $20 to $25 million.
Right.
They're not going to be able to move it. So if they can't, like, if they sign Brady, but then they lose a bunch of those guys, they can't really improve around him, you know, are you kind of in neutral and you just have to hope that New and Harry are so much better next year? That is what I'm interested in, is what happens with that roster, with some of those guys that are there right now that also have to be re-signed or let go.
Matt, the landing spots for Josh McDaniels have drastically disappeared quickly this week. I mean, do you think, look, obviously his last chance it appears now is Cleveland. Do you think that's where he ultimately goes?
I do. I think Stefanski's still a real option there. I don't think anybody else is from what you hear. It's kind of those two guys. I know Brian Daboll's been bantered about. I think he'd kind of be a third option. Nothing against him. He had a hell of a year in Buffalo. I just kind of think it's McDaniels and Stefanski. It's going to be very interesting, though, because keep this in mind. When Matt Rhule got hired in Carolina, they gave him a seven-year deal. You better believe that Josh McDaniels is looking at that and going, you're giving me a seven-year deal. Because I'm not coming there where you've been firing guys after 1 year, after 2 years. I'm not coming there without a huge commitment. And that guy just got it, and he never, ever, ever had any tangible coaching success in the NFL.
Right.
So when that Rhule hire happened, I can guarantee you Haslam slammed his head down on his desk in Cleveland and said, we're going to have to pay McDaniels or Stefanski almost as much as that, if not as much as that, and we're going to have to give him that kind of length. If I'm McDaniels, I wouldn't sign there for anything less than 7 years, and I'd be surprised if he does.
Now we'll get you out of here on the divisional round. Your Chiefs are playing. My Seahawks are playing. Which matchup are you most interested this weekend?
First of all, I think both those teams are going to win.
I hope so.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm actually most interested in some ways in the Minnesota-San Francisco game. Because I thought New Orleans was the best team in the NFC. I thought San Francisco would find its way to the Super Bowl just because they're hauling the extra week off. The Vikings went in there. That wasn't a fluky game. But they handled the Saints. And I know they got the overtime and everything else, but the Vikings outplayed New Orleans in that game. Now they go to San Francisco. Garoppolo has never started a playoff game. He may be great. He's been very good in some of the bigger games this year, like New Orleans and Green Bay. But Minnesota goes in with a lot of confidence. And Minnesota is a talented football team. I am very interested. I am picking the Niners, but I would not be shocked if all Minnesota won that game. The Baltimore-Tennessee game, I just don't think Tennessee is going to have enough. It would have to be a game where Tannehill makes some plays. Because, look, we know Henry. Henry's going to get some yards in that game, but Tannehill's not throwing for 75 yards to beat Baltimore. They're going to have to make some plays. I do think your Seahawks have the best shot of an upset. I think that game is pretty much a coin flip. I think Seattle's better. It's just a question. They got to go on the road. They had to play last week. They're banged up. But in the Kansas City-Houston game, I just feel like, could Kansas City lose? Yes. But I think it would take the Chiefs beating themselves or having a horrible injury or something early in the game. I think Houston's up against it in that game with Andy Reid off a bye and Mahomes finally healthy and everything else.
I think we would all agree that Cousins, Garoppolo, and Tannehill are the bottom three left in the playoffs. But of the other five teams, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, who's the best quarterback left this weekend?
That's a great question. I would say that Wilson would be the one that would scare me the most in some ways. I think it's Wilson and Mahomes, and that's not a slight on Jackson. The only reason I say that is you can do some. Like if Jackson's got to get into a game where he's got to throw the ball a lot, that's a problem for him. Not that he's not a good thrower of the ball, but he's not great. He's erratic. But Wilson could beat you any way you need him to beat it. And Mahomes, now that he's healthy, is similar in that regard. So I think those two guys, for me, are the two best quarterbacks right now going.
All right. He's Matt Verderam, NFL director at Fansided.com. Joins us every Friday. Matt, you enjoy the games. Good luck to your Chiefs, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks to Matt Verderam for stopping on by. I want to ask you this, because I didn't want to ask Matt this. When does Chiefs lose? Does he act like Rich? Is it that painful? Like you stuck a knife and then pulled it out and put salt into the wound and stuff like that, or what?
Yes,
it's pretty mellow.
No, in the playoffs, he's like that. A regular season game in week three, he doesn't get as mad as you do
on that way in exhibition season.
So he's like crying in the corner, saying colorful words because his team is getting clobbered there.
I must say, I'm somewhat looking forward to this weekend. I can just sit there in front of the television and watch without giving a bleep who wins the game. That's rare.
I'm not looking forward to this. Well, only reason I'm saying that is because I don't think the game's going to be as close or exciting as they were in the wild card weekend. Right. I had all the underdogs in the first weekend. This weekend, I pretty much have all the favorites.
Well, it's pretty hard to top the wild card week. There wasn't a single game with a differential over in double digits. I mean, the games weren't real necessarily offensively exciting, but they were always in doubt.
Which is what you care about most, is that they're close. And look, I think we all agree that we'd like close games. I don't think any of the games are going to be particularly close. I've got the Vikings and 49ers as a close game. The other three I've got as double-digit games.
Yeah, me too. The Ravens are going to destroy Tennessee, I think.
The Ravens?
Yep.
I've got them.
I know Colin's making it his big bet of the day.
He's putting like more than like $1,000 on that game.
Yeah.
I've been hearing a lot of people taking the spread and taking Tennessee.
Really? Oh, yeah. See, I wouldn't do that. I'd take Baltimore, too. I think they're going to blow them out.
They blow out everybody.
I think it's going to be like 38-14.
Yep. Me, too. I can't wait for our predictions. They're probably all the same.
I've written my scores down, so don't steal my scores.
I've written them, and mine are the same as Brady. Yeah. No, Donald says, congratulations, boys. See, Brady's hard work pays off. Now if you can get Arnie to do something. Wow! Wow!
Well, he's not wrong.
No, he
didn't have to write it. At 2 o'clock.
He didn't have to write that. He's not wrong, but he didn't have to write it.
Sort
it would be
like
better
if
I could come in at 2:55. If we go back to 4-6, we'd really be number one. I don't know why, but we'd be better.
This is a constant conversation when you're not in the room.
That Arnie wants to be on.
I want 4-6.
No,
I miss the old days.
I said 4-ish to 6-ish. It could be 4:15 to 5:45. I didn't say exactly.
When I wanted to be 4:59 to 5:01.
Yes, exactly. They said what's coming up next. We'll get to that. You're in the huddle. 101.3.
Whoa. What did he say?
I think Eli is the most disrespected quarterback in the history of the NFL.
He really said that?
Baker's not even a good NFL quarterback yet.
It's they said what?
I just want to watch a game without it being interrupted.
On the huddle on 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What am I pointing through the game on this busy Friday? So much going on. Rich is going to party like a rock star tonight.
Yeah, once those numbers, those ratings came out, it's like, okay, I'm not sitting at home tonight.
You should. It's the first time you've ever been number one. So congratulations.
You know what? It only took 40 years, but no, that's not really true. The ratings in this town are all over the place. It's a constant roller coaster, but man, it feels good to be. We should be playing We Are the Champions as our
answer.
Wow. Because we don't hear that song on the radio enough.
What would Bill Belichick and Nick Saban say? They would say, great, you're number one. Now go out and do it again tomorrow.
That's right.
He'd say we're on the 2020.
It's on to the spring book.
It's on the 2020.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're already in 2020, so it's on to the next ratings book.
All right, let's get to They Said What, Brady.
They Said What?
How about Giants GM Dave Gettleman? He's getting a lot of grief all over social media for this comment.
The people say it's a passing league. I get that, but... You know, that graphic on Sunday afternoon should not have been lost on everybody. Top four passing teams were not in the playoffs. The top four rushing teams were in the playoffs. And I think, don't quote me, but most of the teams were in the top, I think, 12 in terms of rushing. So, again, it's a physical, violent game. And if you don't build your team to do that, you know, late in the year when the weather's lousy and it's rush out there,
So Dave Gettleman's getting a lot of grief for saying basically that running the football is really important, and Joe Judge echoed it yesterday too. If you can run the football and if you can stop the run, that is what good teams do. Now everybody's coming out here analytically. The Mike Clay of ESPN, Matt Verderam, they're all hammering Gettleman saying, does he realize that how good the offenses are in this league and how good you have to be able to, and passing the football is what matters. Do you think Gettleman's getting undeserved grief for this, or does he look like a dinosaur?
I think it's a misleading statistic. So when he says that, look, you know, if you look at the top four teams that were leading in passing, they didn't make the playoffs. One of them was Tampa Bay, but that's also because they're behind a lot.
Right.
So they're throwing the ball constantly in the second half. And when you mean passing, does that mean passing yards?
Yes, that's what he's saying.
So Kansas City wasn't a top four team?
No, because Mahomes was hurt. Again, a misleading stat. New Orleans wasn't because Breeze was hurt. Misleading stat. Even though Teddy Bridgewater did a good job, he's not going to throw for many yards as those guys. So that's why I think it's a little misleading. Plus, the top four passing teams, Tampa, Dallas, Atlanta, and the Rams, well, except for the Rams, all the other ones were sub 500 or 500, And they had the pass because they were behind all the time.
No, I'm not really – I don't have a huge problem with what he's saying. He's just – he's taking recent stats, and the fact is he also has Saquon Barkley in his backfield. And I know he had some off games, a lot of them last year, but I've got to believe moving forward Saquon Barkley is going to be a top 5 or 6 yards and score producer in the NFL. I mean, if you've got the guy to run the ball, run him.
Look, I know – Matt Verderam was saying on Twitter to me yesterday, basically Gettleman wants the Giants to look like a 1990 team. I don't think he's going that far with it. I think Dave Gettleman understands that passing is what's in the NFL, but running is always going to be important. I don't think makes him look like an antiquated dinosaur.
When he gives that statistic, it does. It's misleading.
One of the best sayings I've ever heard about the NFL is this: throw to score, run to win. Okay, to score, run to win. You have to. I don't have any problem with Gettleman sitting up here and saying we need to build from the interior out. Colin says that all the time. Wide receivers don't matter. Fortify the front line. I don't have any problem with Gettleman wanting to have a strong offensive line, a strong defensive line, and being able to control the line of scrimmage. And if you can control the line of scrimmage, then everything is open to you. Running, passing, play action, it's all open to you, and you can salt away wins.
Well, here's the reason why it's not good. If you had Patrick Mahomes, you wouldn't say our number one goal is to run the ball. You'd say our number one goal is we're throwing it out, then we'll set up the run game. If you had Lamar Jackson, you may run a little bit, but you're going to say Lamar Jackson is going to do whatever he wants, throw, run, it's up to him. How come if Daniel Jones is so great, right, he's going to be so great, why aren't we opening up that? Why are we using the passing game to open up the running game for Saquon Barkley?
You want to throw it 60 times a game, though, it sounds like.
Not 60, but you know I like to throw the ball.
Yeah, you do, but I also want to see a team be efficient on offense. And when you come out and throw it 60 times a game, and the handful of times you go 3 and out, you're going to get crushed going the other way. I think I believe in offensive versatility in a diverse game plan. I don't need the team to look exactly like Tennessee looked last week, but I don't need them to throw it 64 times.
No, but by the way, when you say 60 times, I don't count the throw to the running back.
Well, you should, because it's a pass.
No, but officially it's a pass. But we know what it is. It's a glorified run. When you do the little shuffle pass, do the shovel pass, that's another run. That's just another way to get the guys the ball. So that's not really a pass. That's a run there.
But Brady, you're right. The front line is everything in here. If it's 3rd and 4 and your guy's going back to pass the ball and he just gets crushed before he takes his his drop step back, that has nothing to do with whether it makes any sense to pass the ball or not, because the line isn't giving any time to throw the ball. So I think it all comes down to the offensive and defensive line. But Isaac's running will always be important, even though Gettleman's stats are misleading. Come playoff team, every team needs a run game. Look at last year. Patriots all of a sudden had themselves an exceptional run game, and they took it all the way to the championship.
All right. Hour one in the books. So Brady will tell you what's trending. Then we'll get ready for the top 4 at 4. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle.
101.3, The Game.
That type of stuff is wrong.
If you disagree with us, no sweat. Let us know by calling or texting in at 802-655-6672. It's The Huddle on 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What about part 3 of the game? It is Friday.
Woo-hoo.
Party time. So much going on tonight. Rich is going to be hitting the town.
Well, maybe. Yeah. I'm
not we sure should yet. Be hitting
what do
the
mean,
town.
Maybe.
We should be. It's time to partay.
What do you mean, maybe?
Well, I got to find a good band somewhere. Got to find a tribute band somewhere.
You know, you would
Jimi
ask,
Hendrix tribute over you, Higher Ground.
You asked me if I wanted to do something tonight, and I said, maybe. But the last 2 times you've asked me that, you've backed out. So maybe this time I just shouldn't commit.
I suppose I do have it coming to me that I would go out tonight and basically beg you to show up, and then just you completely shut off the transmission.
You ever go by yourself, like sit in the corner, drink?
Of course. But I never
sit in
the corner.
That's when you go to the poorhouse. You know where everybody is.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of times at the poorhouse I'm just sitting there by myself, but I know everyone around me.
Yeah.
I sit here and talk a good game, but you know where I'll end up tonight? I'll be ending up at the poorhouse. Just the same old thing.
Or you'll end up in bed by 9.
Yes.
One of the
two. Sounded like me for a second.
Well, now, at my age, there's no more hair of the dog for me. It's becoming almost impossible, so you have to plan ahead.
Yes.
It's like, all right, if I go out tonight, that means tomorrow's going to suck. If I go out Saturday, that means Sunday's going to suck, so you have to pick your poison.
And now you're at the point where 4 beers gives you a hangover.
I feel like calling my mom and ask her if my niece is still in prison.
Yeah, which means nothing to most of our listeners. But yeah, that's how we started the show today.
My mom left me a message going, call me. It's an emergency. And then hung up the phone, so which I'm used to anyway.
She was frantic. I was scared for her safety just hearing it from
afar. I know,
it's so
funny because you looked horrified.
Well, if my parents, God bless their souls, if they had ever called me with that kind of tone of voice, I would have run over there so fast you wouldn't know what hit me.
Yeah, but I've had that tone of voice when the TV went out, when the Price is Right wasn't on. You know, that was a big emergency. I've had those emergencies before. This one was because my niece was supposedly arrested, but they were just trying to steal money from her.
Right. You should. Yeah. Well, I'm sad about that, but can we tell the new audience our good news?
Yes, go ahead.
Rich, do you want to do the honors
here? We finished as the number one show on the radio in Burlington, Vermont in the latest Arbitron ratings.
Yes, so
it's unbelievable.
Bad job explaining
it. Sports talk, number one. Who would have ever imagined?
Number one in our time slot.
Yes, the afternoon show, The Huddle, is the number one show. And I mean, we're not talking about beating out four other radio stations. Burlington is crazy saturated with radio. Those of you who go through your dial know it. There's like 20 radio stations in this little town. And for us to finish number one with a sports format is huge. I couldn't believe it.
Well, we thank you. We are appreciative of all of our listeners because ultimately, yes, we're the ones doing the show, but you guys are really helping us navigate it. All of you who have interacted on the text line, calling in, social media, email. A lot of you have emailed me over the last grading, you know, book period that we were in, the ratings period. You all helped us get to this point where we are the number one rated show in the afternoons, Burlington, Plattsburgh, Franklin County, Addison County. We are number one, all of those places, and we appreciate you guys because we could not have done it without you. It's a day for us to be in a good mood and be celebrating, but ultimately it's because you guys, A, you listen, B, you filled out a form saying that you listen, so you guys certainly went to bat for us, and we appreciate all of you. So our success is your success, and we're grateful for
it. First-time texter, wonder how big your ratings bonus will be. Oh, they're pretty big. You don't have a bonus?
Somebody will buy me a beer tonight.
Yeah.
That's my bonus.
When I was in Dallas, I had a contract, and the guy who hired me got fired, and they brought in another guy. And this is how dumb I am. I just happened to be reading the contract, and I said, I was telling my wife, I get a bonus for being in the top three. And there was no shows in the top 20. So I go, I wonder what place I'm in. I go, I'd never find out. The old guy never told me. So I went and found out I was number one 3 months in a row.
So you should have three.
I went to the people. I go, how come nobody told me this? And nobody said a word. I go, you guys owe me $75,000. I go, I'll have it by 5 o'clock today.
You had a $25,000 per month?
Per book.
Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, but you're saying you got a ratings book every month.
No, we got a ratings book.
You just said I was number one for 3 months.
Excuse me, for three books.
Okay.
For three books. And nobody told me, so I made them give me $75,000. And the new guy,
here I am hoping I can get a beer.
The new guy came in and said, we're going to have to put an end to that because we can't really be paying you an extra $100,000 for the 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. slot.
Well,
not going to be working.
You had a contract, so didn't they have to honor it?
Yeah, but you know what? I was very accommodating because he's like, you're making pretty good money here. You know, I'm going to have to... We're going to get rid of this contract one way or the other. He goes, I can't keep giving you $25,000 every 3 months. That's going to kill our budget.
Wow.
He goes, the other shows are eventually going to have to pay their bonuses.
75 grand we would have gotten today. And I still am glad I never left Burlington.
Is that funny? Yeah. No, I'm like, okay.
I'll take a beer out if somebody wants to.
Yes, I will take a ratings beer. Ben and Allberg, we can't fit Arnie's head in the door. Congrats, Brady and Rich, for being number one.
Despite Arnie being part of the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? I thought it was good that we're number one in old people, young people, men, and men and women together.
Yeah, chicks dig us.
Because
everybody digged us this time around. That's great.
It's only because I've gone to Orange Theory Fitness, and I think that's really attracted the women to the show.
I mean, look at you with your six-pack abs under those five sweaters you're wearing.
Go to Orange Theory Fitness at the 10:15 class with me.
Yeah.
It's all women and me for the most part, and a few other guys. And I am just like eye candy for these women. I can see them looking at me.
I I see it all the time because I'm coming out of the 9 o'clock drenched in sweat and
always dropping.
And they're all you're literally, and this is true, Brady. I hate to admit it, but he's surrounded by women. They're
all
always
the
gravitating
and
to.
They're
him.
Always dropping things in front of me. Say, could you pick that up for me? And I see them looking at my butt all the time. So I know that goes on. I know that goes
that
on.
Might be the most ridiculous thing in 3.5 years that's ever come out of your mouth, and that's saying something.
What are you talking
that's
going
to become a promo at some point here. They're always dropping things, asking me to pick it up so they can see my butt.
Can you pick that up?
Did you? Is tape rolling there?
Oh, yeah, tape's rolling.
So, that's a promo if I ever heard one.
So we are the number one show. And I'm so jacked up. It's taken us. The station has existed for 9 years now. And this show, whatever the incarnation of it has been, has never been.
Blank and rich.
Yes, has never been number one before. And now, after 3.5 years, we are the number one show in the afternoon. And you know, it's weird to say, but it's fun to say. Yeah. And we are grateful to be able to say it because you guys give us reason to come in here every day. As corny as that sounds, we love you all.
And inside radio, sports radio is a tough thing to make work. It's a tough thing to make work. It really is. I mean, everybody either couldn't care less about it and it would never tune in for any reason, or they're with us 24/7. And we thank you guys. It's unreal.
Mike says, Arnie, the only thing women drop in front of you is a restraining order.
Wow. And that's why our listeners are so great, right there.
Nice. Mike wins the day.
That could be possible. That could be very possible on that. But I do like the fact that we're number one with men and women together. So I think that's kind of cool because usually women don't listen to sports talk. See, look, you're being sexist when you say something like that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, get the PC patrol out. But I was amazed. A couple of people from the other radio stations on the other side of the glass, I met them in the hallway, and they asked for an autograph. I was pretty psyched.
I was walking up and now giving everybody else the finger. Is that wrong?
Just telling everyone in this building that we beat all of them?
Yeah, and that I'm taking their parking spots. And that I told one person that we got 2 extra weeks vacation because of it.
Wow, that would be so cool.
And she got really mad, and then I had to say, I was just kidding.
You mean after 3.5 years with you, people don't realize that everything that comes out of your mouth is just kidding?
No, they think it's true. It's
people
hysterical.
Fall into your trap.
I
it's
had you
amazing.
Go in this morning. What did I have you going on? Not this morning, this afternoon. I said something to you and you believed me. I forgot what it was.
it must have been really important.
Yeah, you don't even remember what it was.
I might lie so much to him, it doesn't make a difference. Anyway, yes, thank you, everybody. Mike Williams, congratulations, fellas.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. So we do appreciate
Mike
all
and
that.
Swanton. Guys are great. Keep it up.
What about the interns? They've got to get some thanks there, too.
I sent everybody a nice email that's part of the station.
I didn't read it.
I sent one to you and Rich and Jeff Paul on Saturday and intern Shelby and intern Danny and Aaron and Nick and intern Luke and Lorette. I sent an email to everybody who's been a part of our success in this ratings period.
CJ says, I lived in 5 states. I've been to 47 and listened to a ton of local sports radio. And your show is by far the best I've ever heard. Love you guys, even Brady.
Wow. Damn, CJ just complimented it. That's to you,
to
Brady.
Me, I got a compliment.
I like Dustin in Colchester. He says, congrats and keep up the great work. I can listen to you guys talk about virtually anything.
And we do. Yeah. Including
sexiness.
Arnie's mother and his six-pack abs every day and his stupid basketball at Williston.
I should just pull a message every time my mom calls and leaves that.
Apparently,
apparently,
all these tired old stories that Arnie tells seem to be working.
Yes, they're resonating, apparently.
New listeners every 10 minutes. All right, Brady, let's go ahead and get out of whatever we're doing here.
The Huddle has 3 hours of show to cover everything. Every day.
4.
So you don't miss any.
3.
It's the top 4 at 4.
2. 1.
On 101.3, The Game.
And the top 4 at 4, thanks to Grazer's Restaurant, Maple Tree Place, Williston, Main Street, St. Albans. You can order online, grazersvt.com. And by Agave, Taco Tequila Casa, Maple Tree Place, Sunday brunch, 10 until 2. So you might not be able to do Hair of the Dog, Rich, but people who are going to Agave for brunch 10 to 2, they could do Hair of the Dog. You can order online, agavevt.com. Now,
number 4.
UVM basketball on the hardwood again tomorrow afternoon on the road at UMBC. Catamounts 10-6 overall, but 0-1 in America East play. They're back at it against UMBC tomorrow, 1 o'clock. We have the coverage for you at 12:30. And on the surface, this looks like a really enticing matchup because it's the rematch of the last 2 conference title games. But right now, you got a matchup of 2 winless teams in the league. UMBC 0-2, Cats 0-1.
UMBC is actually a good home team, though. They're 1-6 on the road. So that's one of the things you got to worry about because we have to go there. So, you know, it's always tough to win there. Plus, in a weird way, this is kind of like a must win.
I know.
Because otherwise we'll fall to 0-2 and be in last place in America East. That's never happened since we've been doing this.
And the other thing is UMBC is right there in last place with them at 0-2. UVM's only 0-1. I heard the phrase, things don't get any easier after that loss the other day for UVM at home against Stony Brook. But that is not the case. When you hear UMBC, you think of that really good Retrievers team that's been right there at the finish, has been to Burlington and beaten UVM a couple of times. They are 2-7 in their last 9 games. They lost to a 7-10 UMass Lowell team by 15 points. And then they lost to Binghamton the other night. Binghamton were the doormat of the league, although they're a little better this year, but they still have a losing record. This is not the same Retrievers team that they've had over the last 5 or 6 years.
And it's weird because UMBC has some good peripheral stats. They're the highest ranked field goal percentage team in the league. They're shooting 45% as a team. They also have the best turnover margin in the league. So there are things that you would think a good basketball team does well that they do well. But right now, they have not been a good basketball team. And this has been really weird to see UMBC struggle out of the gate because I thought all along, so the win they had 2 years ago against Virginia in the NCAA tournament, the biggest win, biggest upset in tournament history, I didn't think that was going to matter a lot last year because recruiting season was pretty much done by the time that win happened. I didn't think that last year was going to make a difference. I thought this year you'd really start to see the recruiting bump from all the national exposure that they got, and Ryan Odom signed a contract extension to stay at UMBC, and it just hasn't happened for them so far yet this year. Look, 14 games left in the league for them, but it's odd to see them 0-2 because I thought they'd be riding the coattails of that win by now.
That's a distant memory, and that's why I told you, you know, when we talk about the new facility here at UVM for the hockey and basketball, that's great. I think that's fantastic, but that doesn't, I don't think it helps recruiting like you guys make it out to be. Kids just want to play D1, and whoever's giving them the best opportunity to play, education second now. Believe me, the fact that they beat Virginia, these kids aren't even thinking about that. It's not the facility. These kids just want to play.
But doesn't it frustrate you when the Anthony Lambs of the world and so on, and we've heard it from all the guys who have come in here and stayed 4 years and had star-crossed careers at UVM, the first thing they're asked is, why did you decide to stay at Vermont? Why didn't you go somewhere legit? That drives me nuts when I hear that.
Arnie, doesn't that fly in the face of everything you've said all along? You're saying kids don't care about the fact that they beat Virginia. They just want to play D1. If that's truly the case, then why are you so adamant that UVM change conferences and play better teams? You're if they play better teams, they're going to get better players. Well, to your point, it only matters if they play D1.
No. It is actually, I'm making my point. The kids, they want to play D1, okay? The facilities, all that doesn't matter. These guys that go to Duke and Kentucky, they're going to Duke and Kentucky if they were playing on the hardtop because they want to go to the next level. They couldn't care if nobody showed up to the games. For Vermont, we're a small team, okay? We're never going to go ahead and get the recognition, even with new arenas and new buildings like that. That's why I want to go to a higher conference so we can get better and bigger and grow the school. That's why that's wrong.
We could talk about the UVM Tiddlywinks team, and he would turn it into they need to move to a better conference.
That was actually my fault. I brought it up. So
I forgot what I was talking about before then.
Well, look, tomorrow's a big game. You're right. You don't want to go to 0-2, especially with Stony Brook off to a 2-0 start and beating them at UVM. But after that, I mean, after the UMBC game, they got Binghamton, Hartford, Maine, UMass Lowell, New Hampshire. They will be prohibitive favorites in all 5 of those games.
Well, they're going to need it tomorrow. A win at UMBC is on the docket for us, hopefully, 12:30 with the coverage right here on 101.3 The Game.
Number 3.
The Red Sox have avoided arbitration hearings with both Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr., signing them each to 1-year deals. Mookie Betts gets $27 million, which is the largest deal ever for an arbitration-eligible player. Jackie Bradley gets $11 million. Let's clear up a couple things here.
Right.
This doesn't really change anything that we didn't already know. Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. were arbitration-eligible for the last year. That means that they were under Red Sox team control for the last season. We always knew that Betts and Bradley were going to get a contract from the Red Sox. Now they officially have that contract. All this did today was mean that they're not going to sit in court and the two sides are going to fight against each other about what the money should be. They settled out of court amicably. Betts gets $27 million, Bradley $11 million. Now they are under contract with the Red Sox, and now all the same things we've talked about can happen. They can stay with the team next year. They can be traded at any point. They can be traded. They're going to be free agents at the end of the year if they stay with the Red Sox. None of this changes anything. We just now know the numbers that they will make this season.
But this had to come first before anything else, before like the Dodgers say, we want Mookie Betts in a trade. This
nope. All
no,
that
the Dodgers could have given him a big time contract.
The Dodgers could have traded for him, and then they would have had to negotiate the 1 year deal with him or given him a long term extension.
Gotcha.
He was always
so. This
under,
is actually easier for the Red Sox to trade him then,
because now you officially know the money.
You know the number.
Yeah, officially, you know the money now. But so we'll see what happens. But if they stay in Boston, these are good contracts as far as I'm concerned. Betts, $27 million, $295 last year, 29 homers,
129 runs.
129 runs. And Bradley, for as frustrating as he is, he's a Gold Glove caliber outfielder. He hit 21 home runs. For $11 million, I would take that on the open market.
Yeah, barely, but I would. Matt Barnes also today, $3.1 million.
Yeah.
That seems like a great deal. He's been pretty consistent. Also, Heath Hembry, who is apparently going to be paid for the performance. He should be paying the fans, $1.6 million. And also, let's see, Brandon Workman, who had a really good year and turned into their closer, will get $3.5
million. Yeah, look at this. Give me something equivalent. You may have to look up this fast. Bradley gets $11 million.
Yes.
And how much did CeCe Sabathia get? $8 million, $10 million from the Yankees last year? What was it? I mean, some of these pitchers are getting, what? Bradley can't hit himself out of a paper bag.
Well,
you're paying $11 million for defense is what you're paying for.
A guy hitting 220 with no power.
Yeah.
Completely, little power.
Completely different. The arbitration process is slated so that you will escalate every single year. Sabathia was a 39-year-old, 40-year-old pitcher at the end of his career with a bulky knee, bad shoulder. And they still gave him $10
million. But even some of these pitchers that Rich is mentioning.
They're first-time eligible for arbitration.
Yeah, Barnes was crucial.
It seems like these pitchers are getting ripped off because pitchers are more important than a defensive outfielder batting 240 to get $11 million.
Yeah, Brandon Workman and Matt Barnes were arguably the two best pitchers out of a bad bullpen last year, and they're combining to get $6 million, which is about half of what Jackie Bradley's going to get.
I don't know, you might be right about that, Brady, but it doesn't seem right to me.
No, I agree.
A defensive outfield, $11 million, you got two guys here not even adding up to that. It doesn't seem right.
If Jackie Bradley went to free agency where he was open to everybody, you don't think Jackie Bradley would get a 1 year, $11 million deal?
Sure, he would. Somebody wants that defense badly enough.
Well, yes. Again, for $11 million, he also hit 21 home runs. Yeah. He also can run the bases, steal bags. Again, I don't love Jackie Bradley. I wouldn't give him 4 years for $80 million or something like that, but 1 year, $11 million, I think almost every team in the league that's trying to be competitive would take him at that price if they had an opening in the outfield.
Did he really hit 21 home runs last
year? Did he hit that many?
Yes.
I thought he hit about 12.
Would you give him 4 year, 44? $4 million? That's the same average.
I wouldn't go 4 years at his age, no, but 1 year for 11, I would. And by the way, when he hits free agency, he probably will be in that neighborhood that you're talking about. Aaron Hicks got 7 years for $70 million from the Yankees.
But isn't he a little better than Jackie Bradley?
Yes, but is he $40 million better than Jackie Bradley?
Well, you have to pay it all. You have to, you know, add the total for Jackie Bradley, but no, he's not that much better. No, he's not.
Top 4-4, 101.3 the game.
Number two.
Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels interviewed in Cleveland today for the Browns job. Browns want to have a resolution to this by the weekend, so we'll know probably by Monday's show whether or not Josh McDaniels is going to be the next coach of the Browns. Kevin Stefanski of the Vikings offensive coordinator in the mix for this. Greg Roman still, the offensive coordinator of the Ravens. He's in it. Eric Bieniemy of the Chiefs. Robert Saleh of the Niners defensive coordinator. He is out. So it kind of looks like you're down to Bieniemy, Roman, Stefanski, and McDaniels.
But McDaniels seems to be the front runner out of all those.
Him and Stefanski right now are listed as 1-2 in either order.
I kind of get the feeling they're going to offer him the job. I was just looking on Twitter now. Did he go with his wife?
He did.
That seems like that's kind of a done deal. Or do you usually go with your wife?
Yeah, you know, that's first I've heard of that. And when I hear that at first blush, I go, ooh, that
don't
matters.
Don't you usually go by yourself, or do you usually bring a family member and
bring all the kids?
I have no idea.
So McDaniels did go with his wife, and Twitter immediately jumped on that and said, oh, we brought his wife. That means they're checking out houses.
Yeah,
they're getting a feel for everything.
I said that, yeah.
But then Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com,
she put
out and said, the Browns have brought in multiple coaches over several years, some of which who have come with their wife and some of which who have haven't. Because she said, there is no correlation between
going with your wife
and not. She says, the Browns have had people bring in wives who didn't get the job and the other way, too. People that didn't bring in their wife and did take the job. Oh. So when you hear that, you think, oh, that must mean that the family decision here is pretty close. But she says, at least, that the Browns have done this before.
Well, it's going to be a big weekend in the life of Josh McDaniels because he can only go to the well so many times here. I mean, is he going to... Is he going to interview after every single football season?
No.
And if he doesn't get Cleveland, he's out of luck.
And it was interesting, too, what Matt Verderam told us in Hour 1 about an hour ago. When you see Matt Rhule, a guy who's a college coach, who has never coached at all at the NFL beyond just being a lower-level assistant with the Giants back in 2012 or whatever it was, he gets 7 years. He gets $7 million. For we could say what we want about McDaniels, but he has had real tangible success in New England. He's been a part of multiple Super Bowl championships. He has developed multiple offenses that were in the top five of the league. I would have a hard time pulling the power play to say, yeah, give me seven years for $70 million too, but Matt Verderam's point is well stated. If Matt Rhule can get that, Josh McDaniels should be expecting something pretty hefty in terms of length and financial commitment.
And that's why this is going to be interesting, because if the Browns do offer McDaniels, say, 4 years at $40 million, I mean, this is it for him. At what point does he have to just say yes to anything? Who's got the ball in their court here as far as the power play goes for this decision?
It's also interesting that reportedly multiple people have warned McDaniels about taking this job, because that's how volatile the Browns head coaching position has been. They say, look, they're not committed to people there. They fired Rob Chudzinski and Freddie Kitchens after just 1 year. The ownership group there is unstable. It's going to be really important, I think, for McDaniels if he takes this job. Who is the GM? Is he bringing over his own GM? Is he bringing over Nick Caserio, or is he getting somebody else at the Browns hire who doesn't have as much loyalty to McDaniels? I wouldn't try to scare him off from taking it, but it's a real point that the Browns have been so volatile and so turnover-driven.
I actually think it's a good job for him, because he has not had success. And you have to go to a team that I'm not going to say doesn't expect success, but that will deal with that. You know, you can't, if you have a pedigree and you've had a lot of success, you'd have bigger time jobs going after you. You know, you guys heard about Mike Leach taking the job over at Mississippi State. Yeah. People are ripping them. They're saying Mike Leach, no conference titles, no conference championships, no conference championships appearances.
Fun guy.
No outright division wins, one top 10 finish, and two double digit win campaigns. And this guy gets the job. And people are like, how come, you know, other people aren't being considered? Right. Because he's going to Mississippi State.
Because he's a fun guy.
Yeah, and because you're going to a school that doesn't have high expectations, so that's the best they can do. This is probably the best the Cleveland Browns can do, and I think that he should take it. Don't worry about the Haslam firing people every 1 or 2 years. Try to get a 3 or 4 year deal, maybe more than that. They said that he wants to get, a 6 year deal, a 7 year deal. Good luck to that, Brady. If he can get 4, I'd take it and move on and just get it.
It's a great job for McDaniels, given the pieces in place. You have the second leading rusher in the NFL in Chubb. You have the number one pick in the draft from 2 years ago in Mayfield. We don't know what's going to happen with Myles Garrett, but remember what a force he was on the defensive side of the ball before he swung his helmet at Mason Rudolph. You have young pieces both on the defense and the offense, and you have established stars like Beckham and Landry. This is a home. For all the coaches that go into jobs that are total rebuilds, the Browns are not a rebuild in terms of acquiring talent. They're a rebuild in terms of building a culture. I just don't know that McDaniels is the guy for that.
Brady, Pro Football Central, you know that?
No.
Nope. PFC?
Nope.
Twitter, they just put this out 4 minutes ago. Josh McDaniels wants full roster control. Browns impressed with the interview and his mindset. They're still weighing roster control part, not negotiable either. Mm-hmm. So, I guess that's coming from McDaniels. It's not negotiable. Well, he must have full roster control. But usually coaches do that anyway.
Not so much because you're talking about, you said, I think it's hard to be a coach and a GM. That's essentially what he is saying. Like, he wants to have what Belichick has, which is full autonomy. He wouldn't want what Gettleman does in New York.
Well, I don't think he's going to be worried about second string punters or anything like that. But if there's somebody big.
No, I think he is.
Really? Because I think if there was somebody big, he goes, you know what? I need this guy. I'm overriding you. I think that's the way I looked at it, but I wants control on everything. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Top 4-4.
Number one.
Divisional weekend is this weekend. We'll make it quick. We've got all four games right here on 101.3 The Game. Minnesota, San Francisco, Tennessee, Baltimore Saturday, Houston, KC, Seattle, Green Bay on Sunday. I'm excited for it. We got four good games. I think that they're all intriguing in various ways.
Again, I don't know if they're going to stack up to the first weekend of Wild Card Weekend. I liked all the dogs in that weekend. I'm kind of liking all the favorites this time around. And I really think it's just, not to get off on a tangent, but it's such an unfair advantage. I used to say this about the Patriots every year. When you get that bye week,
right.
It's just too much of an advantage. We really do have to go to 8 teams and no more bye weeks. 1 of 8, 2 of 7, 3 of 6, right. 4 of 5. That's the fairest way. I really hate the bye week more than anything that I've seen in any of the major four a sports. I hate that.
And Minnesota and Seattle had such grind out root canal kind of wins. Then they have to get on a plane and go to the go to West. Seattle has to go to Green Bay, obviously, but Minnesota has to go out west. So you're right. And whether the Patriots are in it or not, you know, it's going to be an interesting weekend. But I suspect we're not looking at 4 single-digit differential games this weekend.
No. No, I don't think that's going to happen. You want to get in, Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. So jump on in. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
If it's not Tom Brady, could this guy be the quarterback of the New England Patriots next year and starting to gain some traction?
We'll get to that next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
If you think these guys argue a lot on the air, you should have heard them during the commercial break.
So what is wrong with you? What the hell does that even...
It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 The Game on this Friday. Rich, not good news for...
rock and roll fans.
Yes, tell us, why don't you give us the stories on this.
I was on such a high about the ratings and everything. We just got terrible news. Terrible news to people who care about rock and roll. Neil Peart, who I consider the greatest rock and roll drummer ever, died. I guess it was January 7th.
Which is Tuesday.
Tuesday at the age of 67.
Yeah, they're just confirming that now.
That is just devastating to me. I don't think I've ever heard a greater drummer than him.
Of Rush.
Yeah. Brain cancer. He was such a quiet guy. He had lost his wife and his daughter within a couple of years of each other, and now he's gone. It's just been one tragedy after another for that guy. And a rep from the band confirmed the news to Rolling Stones. Neil Peart, dead at the age of 67, the drummer for Rush. And like I said, to me, he was the greatest. And I saw an interview with him the other day because Rush just has always fascinated me. And I had no idea where his beats came from. It was just like, how could anybody possibly be that intelligent and that able to stay up with that kind of music? I mean, to be able to make that kind of music with just three of them. Mm. It sounded like an orchestra most of the time. It was pretty unbelievable. And that stinks. That's you know, I think a lot of people who don't care about that kind of stuff like rock and roll are going to go, who the hell is Neil Peart? This guy was, to me, the greatest drummer I ever saw. I saw them probably 20, 25 times. I mean, we followed him around a couple of tours, and everybody would just revel at the professor on the drum kit, as he was called. And that sucks. He might have been certainly the smartest guy in rock and roll. If you ever heard him talk, he's incredibly articulate, very deep-thinking guy who's had to endure, as I said, a lot of tragedies in life, and now he's gone at 67. Wow. Jeez.
Just one little side note on him. He used to not play the drums, but bang on his desk nonstop in school.
Most drummers.
But the funny part is, his punishment when he was doing that, the teacher would make him go to detention and said, you want to bang on you do this for a whole hour in detention. And that's how he got his skills. He's a whole hour in detention. And the teacher did the best thing for him.
He could talk about anything for hours, and I would be drawn in. Like I said, I watched a documentary about him. Jeez, it must have been Monday. I mean, this is unbelievable news to me. And I could listen to him for hours. He was so incredibly articulate. If you're not familiar with him, just look him up sometime and listen to him talk. He would just draw you in. He could make absolutely anything interesting, and his drumming ability was just completely off the charts. So, wow. Bad news.
I was wondering what my buddy Steve Gorman had to say. Remember, we had him on the show. He's the drummer that got to play with Ringo Starr a couple of months ago.
Of the Black Keys.
Crows.
Black Crows.
Yeah. So, yep. I was just going to look up. But that, obviously, rocking the world out there.
And he took that incredible IQ and intelligence he had and put it into the Rush lyrics. If you ever really listen to the Rush lyrics, it's pretty incredible. He wrote all of the lyrics to Rush's music.
Remember,
all of them.
You have that book that our buddy Pat gave you a couple months ago. It was like the history of rock and roll on the top 100 albums or whatever. I'm sure Rush is prominently featured in that book.
Permanent Waves. And I mean, I'm moving pictures, just thinking about all 2112 was, I mean, you talk about the soundtrack of my youth. Wow. That's unbelievable.
Well, 802-655-6672. Back into sports we go. Have you seen this rumor that's made it around here the last 15, 18 hours or so, that if it's not Tom Brady, the next quarterback of the Patriots could be Andy Dalton.
Oh, the Red Rifle is back.
The Red Rifle.
And that's because, so Peter King put this out. He said this on WEEI. He said, I think Bill Belichick would really like to work with Andy Dalton because Andy Dalton is a football player, you know? He's not Tom Brady. He's not going to go down in the Pantheon. I get it. Guys who are going to go down in the Pantheon at 32 aren't available, okay? Russell Wilson is not coming through that door. But I think Andy would be a very compelling guy to either be their quarterback for a while or be the bridge guy to the next quarterback or take Jarrett Stidham under his wing.
This is horrible. This is the worst thing. If you're a Patriot fan, this is not what you want to see. I said, if you're not going to go ahead, this is why Tom Brady needed to come back, because I said, what are you going to do? You're going to bring in a rookie and he's going to go through growing pains for 3 years? Belichick can't do that. He wants to learn from Tom Brady. Who are you going to bring in? You think you're going to trade for, let's say, a Mitch Trubisky or an Allen from Carolina or you know, just one of those guys that just came in and filled in and you thought maybe he could make a run? No, that's not going to happen either. And then you're thinking, well, Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton. Why, that's going to make it better than Tom Brady? No, the fans would be upset if you brought in somebody like that. That's why Tom Brady needs to come back. Even if it's an average quarterback, you're not going to make as big of a splash as with anybody else as with Tom Brady. That's why you get a rookie, let the rookie learn under Tom Brady, and you bring Brady back for 2 more years, and everybody's happy. Brady's happy. The rookie would be happy to learn under him, and the fans would be happy. That's why you bring him back.
Well, if that rookie is Stidham, that'll make 3 years of him never seeing the field.
Stidham. I'm talking about a real rookie, you know, that one of the good, great rookies that are coming out this year.
So what do? You draft a first-round guy?
That's what you've got, if you can get a Herbert.
23rd pick.
If you can get one of those guys, Fields is coming out. Fromm is coming out.
Fields from Ohio State?
Not Fields, excuse me, Fromm. I meant to say Fromm's coming out. You got Tua there, but you're not going to get him. You got Burrow. You could move up a little bit, get one of those guys in the first round, and let him sit on the bench for 2 years while he's learning under Brady.
Look, I don't hate Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is not as bad as many people want to make him out to be. Andy Dalton led a Remember how bad the Bengals were for a really long time. Andy Dalton led them to the playoffs multiple times. He had a 4,000-yard season. He's a 2-time Pro Bowler. He's got every year that he was a full-time starter, with the exception of two, he threw for 20-plus touchdowns. Andy Dalton is not as bad as you want to make him out to be. However, to me, this will come down to, as it always is going to come down to, is money and is value. Arnie, I know Tom Brady's different, but you're always the one telling me, well, if I can get, you know, I can pay Mookie Betts $100 million or $400 million, or I can get an outfielder that's not quite as good and pay him $60 million, yes, I'll take that guy.
But you're not paying Tom Brady a lot of money.
If Tom Brady is going to ask for $34 million this year, and he's not going to budge off that number, but Andy Dalton will play for $15 million, well, then it starts to become a case to me of $19 million in savings for relatively similar, at least regular season production. I'm fully confident that Andy Dalton could put up similar numbers to Tom Brady in the course of a regular season. Now, his playoff expertise going down and going winning on the road in the AFC title game, I wouldn't expect that out of Andy Dalton. But in the regular season, am I really led to believe that Andy Dalton is much, much worse than Brady? And if $19 million or something separates the two, I'd have to look at Andy Dalton.
See, that's the thing. We can't figure out what the bar on Tom Brady is. Is the bar what he was in the second half of the season and in that playoff game last week against Tennessee? Or is the bar everything before that? I have no idea what Tom Brady is coming back next year.
Rich, if I told you Tom Brady will play for $25 million and Andy Dalton wants $22 million, you take Brady, right? We'll pay the extra $3 million for Brady.
Absolutely.
But if Tom Brady wants $35 million,
no way,
and Andy Dalton wants $18 million, you'd have to be interested in considering Andy Dalton.
And I've always said, it's not my money, I don't care. But, well, in this case, yeah, I care, because the money affects the outcome of the season. I mean, you've got a salary cap here, and if Brady's going to absolutely crush it and allow nobody else to come in, and the Patriots to have absolutely no flexibility to put people around him that can make a difference, now we care.
What do you think is more important to Robert Kraft? Do you think it's important for him to get another quarterback in here that's going to make less than Tom Brady, but you know you're not going to win a Super Bowl, or bring back Tom Brady, make more money in your pocket because Tom Brady does make you more money, and know you're probably not going to win a Super Bowl either? I think I'm bringing back Tom Brady. I think I'm bringing
for
back
35?
Tom Brady. Yes, for 30, 35 million.
That's an 8-8 you know, season waiting to happen.
You want to know why I'm bringing him back? Because you have no choice. You really don't. All these other quarterbacks, you're going to look like a damn fool. Anybody that's coming after Brady, unless it's a rookie, even if they play better, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. That's why you got to bring back
Brady.
You
know what? That's interesting. Let's take a break and let's kind of go there next. You're talking about it from Robert Kraft's standpoint, but I want to talk about it from the fan standpoint. So think about this question through the break. If Robert Kraft kind of blew out the salary cap, he gave Brady $35 million and ruined the rest of the roster around him. If Robert Kraft sacrificed a winning team in order to just bring back Tom Brady and pay him back for all he's done, how would you as fans feel about that? That's where I want to go next.
All right, 802-655-6672 if you want to go ahead and jump on in. That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Between the kids, the wife.
I can't take this.
And the boss.
Come on.
Your personal time is sacred. Lose yourself all day long in the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Brady and I are plotting out our night tonight, well, laughing about some of the places we may end up.
We're trying to. I wasn't going to do anything tonight, but celebrate the fact that we were number one in the ratings. That's, it feels like cause for maybe a beer.
Yeah, and another beer in the memory of Neil Peart. So,
well, I'm used to being number one.
It's been an up and down roller coaster day as far as the emotions go today.
I'm used to being number one, so, you know.
I know, you couldn't have cared less. You acted like, oh, well, whatever, we're number one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Rich, I know you're with all of us music fans of certain ages. We mourn the passing of Neil Peart this afternoon. This one hurts.
Yeah.
That is from Crawdaddy. I still haven't met Crawdaddy's wife at Orange Theory Fitness.
Craw-mommy?
Yeah, I haven't met her yet, so I don't know what's going on there. Brady, what did you want to get to here about Robert Kraft?
Well, just similar to what we were just talking about. Think about this. So I want to present this idea to Patriots fans. Let's just say Tom Brady wants a lot of money. We'll call it $30 million, okay? The Patriots have $50 million in cap space this year. If Robert Kraft gives Brady $30 million, there's not a whole lot left there for roster maneuvering. $20 million left for all the other holes and free agents the Patriots have. So I ask you this question. Rich, I'll start with you here. Yep. But Patriots fans, 802-655-6672. If Robert Kraft essentially sacrificed building a fully winning team in order to just keep Tom Brady, how would you feel about that?
I hate it. Completely against it in every possible way. I'm not interested in the drama of him having one more chance and going out there and going 8-8 and turning into Peyton Manning, although his year he was so horrible. His defense was so great, they won a Super Bowl with him, and it worked out fine. For me, I'm right now, as a Patriots fan, I'd love to hear from other Pats fans on this, where you're at, because this is a fascinating question. Because
we've already got a lot of texts on this.
Yeah, I mean, where do you want to go as a New England Patriot fan right now? You know where I want to go? I want to somehow figure out a way to bridge through a couple of 9-7s or 10-6s back into that 14-2 team. But Tom Brady is not the way to do that.
Can I butt in for one half second? Yeah. Artie, you have to hear this. Yeah. You can't possibly see this from where you're at, but Rich, in the commercial break, hit his phone to Siri.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like waiting for him to say, like, Siri, tell me this. And everything that Rich was just saying
was going on Siri.
So Siri was just typing frantically everything Rich just said.
I thought it was Facebook blowing up over the Rush drummers dying.
No, so. It was you talking to Siri and just giving your entire monologue there.
I'll give you a cop-out answer. If this is not going to give you the answer you want, but here's a cop-out answer. I really believe, and look, we are far from the attorneys that, you know, need to look at these contracts. But can't Tom Brady get his $30 million but still make it a favorable contract for the Patriots where it's team-friendly, where he doesn't get all the money up front, or he does get it in a bonus, or, you know, it's spread out through how many years so that they don't have to worry about it eating up all the cap this year? There's stuff that they could do for him, and I think Tom Brady would be fine as long as they came out and said, all right, Tom's getting $30 or $35 million. And we're not going to tell you how he's getting it because we're giving him a little here, a little there.
But the cap hit is still there.
But is it really still there? If you maneuver around it where it's team friendly, that's my point. If you can make it team friendly, they'll give him the $35 million. I don't know how to make it team friendly. I don't know how many years you could stretch it out, or if you give it in a signing bonus next year or the year after. I don't know, but there's got to be a way to make a team friendly, you know?
Brady, I don't know if you know this, but maybe you know the answer. Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports, I had a cut from him earlier today, and he talked about what it would mean and what the financial implications of Brady leaving. And somehow or another, whether he's in the uniform or not, they still take a $13 million cap hit. But here it is.
It's very confusing.
In our first scenario, Brady and the Patriots come to an agreement before March 18th. If that happens, $6.75 million from that old cap hit hits the 2020 cap. So a $25 million Tom Brady contract actually hits the cap at $31.75 million. Scenario 2 is where it gets sticky. $13.5 million from his last deal still is hanging around. If the Patriots and Brady don't come to an agreement before the new league year, that means Brady goes out on the free agent market. All of the $13.5 million will then hit the 2020 cap. So even if Brady returns to the team, say for a $25 million one-year deal, it's actually going to hit them for $38.5 million of the cap. The final option, even if Tom Brady signs someplace else, the $13.5 million still hits the cap. So the upshot of this is, even if Stidham isn't the guy, and you decide to go get, for instance, Andy Dalton on a two-year deal paying him $12 million a year, you actually have to realize that you're allocating $12 million to him, $13.5 million to the ghost of Tom Brady.
There you go.
Yeah, and a million even, to Stidham.
Even Isaac said, yes, Arnie, they can backload it. Can't they redo Brady's contract?
Backload it? Well,
yeah, can't they just
they're not giving him a seven-year deal.
No, and, well, it's still even on a two-year deal. They could, or even on a one-year deal, they could stretch. You know, look like Bobby Bonilla. I mean, that's, do something like that. You know, instead of paying him, can you pay him $1 million for 25 straight years? I don't know. There's got to be a way to do. There's a lot of people smarter than me that could do this.
But Tommy Curran brings up a good point. So I would rather have Brady and the whatever the amount he's going to make, because you're, whether he's on the team or not, it's going to cost $13.5 million still, plus Dalton.
Right, but it still costs you the $13 million. That, I was thinking the same thing, but if you get Brady for $20 million, now it's $35 million or $33 million.
But yes. I mean, wouldn't you rather have Brady for $25 million than Dalton and the ghost of Brady for $25 million?
Yeah, it's $33 million to $25 million.
Okay,
okay. So
either way, you're screwed.
Anyway, the question at hand was, if Robert Kraft sacrificed a winning team for the sake of keeping Tom Brady around, how would fans feel about it? I think it depends on how the team performs. All I would ask, if they keep Brady around, I can go into next year knowing Brady's eating up all the cap space. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. As long as they are still in contention for the playoffs, I think I would not be selfish enough as a fan to ask for more than that. If they go 9-7 but are in a position to make the playoffs and they get beat on Wild Card Weekend again, I think I'd be okay with that. Just make them watchable for enough of the year that there's a reasonable chance at success. But if you're going to tell me Brady's going to eat up all the cap and they're going to go 6-10, that's where I would get resentful as a fan. I don't think Patriot fans, I know they are, but I don't think they should be spoiled enough to and greedy enough to where they have to say, no, we're going to keep Brady and we're going to be Super Bowl champions. If Brady eats up the cap and they're unwatchable, I'd be upset. If Brady eats up the cap and they're 9-7, I'd be okay.
What's the worst reaction from the fans? Let's just for argument's sake, Brady comes back and they lose their first game to a team like the Jets, or if they went to Andy Dalton and they lose the first game to a team like the Jets, who gets ripped more, Brady or Dalton? I mean, they would destroy Dalton. They would destroy Dalton. That guy might not be able to finish the season if he loses to a team like you're not supposed to lose to. But then again, if Brady loses a game like that, they'll say, why didn't you get rid of him?
Part of me says, bring Brady back at whatever cost and just get everybody healthy. And let's be the Patriot. But the problem is you've got the Van Noys and the McCourties and all these other guys that are up for free agency. You're not going to be able to pay all these guys. So whether or not you bring back all these guys healthy, like the Andrews and Devlins of the world, you say, well, that's going to make the team great again, even with Brady at quarterback. The fact is you're going to lose four or five key pieces because you won't be able to pay them to come back because you're paying so much to Brady.
You're losing people for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. They're not bringing everybody back.
Correct, Roger. Unless I even made a big mistake, please correct Roger. Roger said, no, it's not, Arnie. $13.5 million would be part of his contract. No.
So Tom Curran said there are three choices. If they get a deal signed before March 18th, which is the start of the new league year, if they come to an agreement before then, it's only $6.5 million of a hit. So it's Brady's deal plus $6.5 million.
So if it's $25 million plus $6.5 million, so that's $31
million. Yes.
Go ahead.
And then if he signs a deal after March 18th and he comes back to the Patriots, we'll say $25 million. It's $25 plus $13.
Plus the $13, Roger.
And then if Brady leaves, they still have a $13 million cap hit. So if you go get Dalton for 10.
It's now 10 plus 13.
Yes, that's the money going to the quarterback position.
So the 13's always going to be there, whether Brady's there or not.
That's that's what Tommy Curran was saying. Unless, I wasn't aware of that.
Unless before March 18th, then it's only 6.5.
6.5. So there you go.
Us talking about money is not a good thing.
There'll be a test on this in 10 minutes.
I prefer baseball salaries where I just know what's going on.
2 hours are in the books. The Power Hour is coming up next. Brady will tell you what's trending. Then we get you ready for Football Talk Friday. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The Game.
Ernie.
It's somewhere. Hey, my wallet. Oh, it's in my pocket.
Brady.
I can just picture Rich showing up in the suspenders with the Velcro shoes going, hey ho, good neighbor. Did I do that?
Rich.
It's a size 20 neck that I got in a gigantic man's store because I have the biggest neck in the Eastern Hemisphere.
It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Everyone, you're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is the power hour of the show. So much to get to on this busy Friday. Rich trying to figure out where he's going to hit the town.
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster day.
Yeah, but you're going to spend some money.
And why are we hitting the town? Let's tell our audience about that.
Because it's Rich's birthday.
No. Let's hope not. Again. I've had enough of those already.
Big 6-5.
The Arbitron ratings came out. We have two a year.
Yeah, we have our grading period.
Yes, the fall and the spring is when they have the so-called books, as they call them in the business.
And we were ranked the number one show. The Huddle was ranked the number one show in all of the Champlain Valley. So Plattsburgh, Burlington, Chittenden County, Addison County, Franklin County. We were, between 3 and 6, we were the top-rated show in the entire marketplace. That is the first time that has ever happened for us. It's the first time it's ever happened for this station.
And you have to understand what a big deal that is for a sports talk show station. I don't want to belabor the point too much, but
belabor it, please.
Sports,
it's a new audience at 5.
Sports talk is a real niche kind of thing. I mean, you're not sitting there playing endless. Here's another 40 minutes of music. You're not doing that. You're playing to an exact certain specific audience. And in general, sports talk is a very, very difficult thing to reel in a large audience for, because when it comes to sports, a lot of people couldn't care less about it, would never even consider listening to this radio station. So it's very amazing to me that we could have the number one show. And the other thing is Burlington, you go, well, it's just Burlington. There's 4 radio stations. There's 7 radio stations in this hallway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to believe this town is so oversaturated with radio stations. There's like 20 of them. So for us to have the top show is unbelievable. And the fact that it's a sports show and something so specific is incredible.
You know, you're right. Everybody likes music. Everybody likes music.
Yeah, it's so background.
Music stations generally do well in things like this. But we beat all the music stations this year, this ratings period. And look, we like to think that we're good at our job, but at the end of the day, we appreciate you, the listeners, because you, the listeners, are the ones who interact with us, and you guys are the ones that fill out the surveys saying what you listen to, and you guys are the ones giving us credit. And so we're going to wear the mantle of being number one, but we did it because you guys were willing to go out and listen to us and support us and meet us out at events and interact with us, and then ultimately write down that you listened to us when you got a ratings book that came to your house, if you got one. And we appreciate that more than you know.
Miles said it's because Brady does vocal frying so smooth.
There you go.
I think that is a big part of it also.
Whatever the reason is, we'll take it.
Absolutely. Some of the stuff on Facebook, you posted this on Facebook, and the response, immediately Lauren, you'd be better if you'd cover more local high school sports. Like, oh, I'm sorry, we didn't mean to be happy for a second.
How dare you? How dare you?
Let's see. Congrats. Great local sports. We listen for Arnie Spanier.
That's nice. Arnie, you got a fan? Who was that?
That would be Justin.
Alex and Moncton, you guys hardly talk sports, though. Oh, stop.
Oh, my gosh. We've 52 minutes of the hour about sports. Adam says, Arnie rides all the hard work that Brady does. If it wasn't for Brady, the show would be bleep.
Everybody,
and I wrote back to him saying, thank you very much.
We appreciate that.
I just say, everybody has a favorite. If you like Arnie the best, great. If you like Rich the best, great. If you like me the best, great. But I like to say there's something for everybody in this show, it feels like, and we appreciate you guys.
It's fun because, A, it's such a specific niche format, which makes it amazing, as I said. The other thing is the three of us are really different from each other. And yet I hear that all the time. I mean, I would never probably, don't take this wrong, but you are probably people that I'd hang out with.
Wow.
Michelle said, I listen because of Arnie. I just wanted to get that in. We are number one with men and women combined. So the women numbers went through the roof, obviously, because of my sex appeal.
Right.
And there's no doubt.
I'm not denying
reason?
That.
Of course.
That's
what
a gift.
Reason? That's
I mean, Orange Theory has changed you.
Yes. There's
now you're a one-pack ab instead of zero.
There's no reason for women to listen to this show other than for me.
other than for me.
Those salt of the dulcet tones.
And most of them watch it because they like to look at me. Yeah. I watch it. And by the way, I was using the restroom and somebody was waiting to use the restroom. I go, no. Restrooms are for number one shows first. You go after me. I just want to throw that out there.
Oh, my God. Sean says it's the only afternoon sports show. What do you expect?
That's true.
The point being, it's a sports show. We beat all the other shows.
Yeah, we beat the music ones also. Men, women, old people, young people.
Yeah,
babies.
We're big with elderly women.
We're number one with babies 6 months to a year.
We were number one in just about every demographic that there is, you know, and again, not without getting too inside radio, but yeah, men, women, older, younger, college age, it didn't matter. We were number one among all of that. And that has, the thing I keep coming back to is that has never happened before, where the afternoon show on this station, no matter what the incarnation was, has never been number one before. And it took us 3.5 years to get to number one. And it's been a steady climb. It's been a climb that we have tried to get to this point. You know, our goal was to, first we wanted to get into the top 8 or whatever when we started. Then we wanted to get to the top 5. Then we wanted to get to the top 3. And now we've gotten to be number 1. And
why didn't you buy us anything for lunch?
I did.
He did.
Pizza?
Pizza, but Costco pizza.
I wanted steak tartare.
I get pizza.
The steak tartare?
Every day we get the ratings, no matter what they've been, I always get pizza. And by the way, I didn't know the ratings before I got the food.
He just got it out of the goodness of his heart,
Artie. Always get pizza on ratings day.
Yeah, but since the ratings are good, Monday we should have steak tartare.
Yeah, you can buy that with your massive salary and ego.
Isn't tartare a winger on the Canadians?
I'm not sure what kind of sauce that is. But
I thought tartare was something for fish. Tartar sauce.
No, that's tartar sauce.
Thomas Tatar.
Steak tartare is like steak with...
tartar sauce?
Something like that. And I've never had that, but it just sounded good.
He's never heard of it, never had it.
I've never had it, but I've heard of it, and I want it now that we're number one. I want steak tartare. Whatever that is.
I just want a bunch of beer.
I want escargot.
You want to eat snails?
What the hell is that?
Escargot is snails.
Yeah. Gross.
And I want caviar.
Ugh.
Every day for us at lunch, waiting for us here.
I just want mac and cheese and beer.
All the things that sound hoity-toity, what you want.
I don't think I would like it.
I just pointed, you talk about the difference between us. You want steak tartare, whatever the hell that is. I want mac and cheese and beer.
No, I love the mac and cheese. I just want to know what steak tartare is.
We'll read your text in a second. We're getting a lot of them. We appreciate you. But again, we wanted to tell you that we are number one, and we are number one because of you, and we could not be more appreciative. And now it's our job to go out and try to be number one again the next time. That is our goal.
I apologize. I don't want steak tartare. That's raw steak. Ugh. I thought that was like, because I eat it mine well done. That's opposite of what I like.
If you don't burn it, I'm sure the cooks love me when I go to the restaurant. Just burn everything you cook.
Look how many of our listeners knew what steak tartare is. We got some hoity-toity listeners. Well,
that's the thing. That's what's so fun about this show. We could sit there and talk about the most ridiculous subject in the text line. There's 50 of them on there in 2 minutes.
This is Matt in Colchester. I think what helps is when you don't talk sports, we learn how to relate to you outside of sports. I love doing that.
And yet, 5 seconds later, we get, you guys don't talk enough about sports. But that's what's so cool about this. It's such a specific format, and the fact that we can make enough people happy for them to actually keep track of their rating habits and listening habits is very cool.
First time texters, Arnie now going to go to another radio show and brag about how he's number one with you guys and take all the credit. I may.
Probably.
I may do that on my national show.
I hope you do.
I may just say I'm number one on my local show.
Right. Now, don't just say local show. Say what the station is called, who we are, and where you're from.
I sent the ratings to my boss in Fox under the BS of like, oh, look how well Clay did. Clay did phenomenal, by the way.
And I know, for all the complaining we get about Clay,
it's so funny.
He rocked.
I sent all the ratings, and I go, oh, yeah, we did pretty good, too. And he goes, wow, you guys killed it. I just want to say, just remember that next time.
See, Casey, you guys are relatable, and sometimes I know more about sports than you guys, although not usually. Well, wait a minute. Is it more or less?
Well, we appreciate you. That's all I can really say. I'm kind of tapped out on ratings talk. And
yeah, that's it. Just today.
Just for today. But we appreciate you guys. It's our goal to be number one every time we do this. Hopefully, this is now the norm, not the exception. And if you guys get a ratings book sent to your house, you know, we ask that you fill it out. And if you enjoy us, fill our names in, because that's what helps us. But all of you that have done that this time around, we appreciate it, because we could not have done this without you.
And I'm thinking we're not going to get fired, which is awesome.
Yes, that's good. We will not get fired for at least 6 months until the next one comes out.
I figure between my hours and getting a number one show, there's no chance I'm getting fired. You talk about job security. and my salary.
There you go. Well, we were going to do Football Talk Friday, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And we were going to get ready for the divisional round. We're going to have to push that until a little bit later in the show because Howard Cross is going to join us in about 4 minutes here to talk about the Giants. Speaking of the Giants, did you see, before we get to Howard, did you see the story today that Eli Manning could be back in 2020 for the Giants? So John Mara went on New York radio and said that Eli's undecided about his future, but that he is not ruling, you know, that Mara is not ruling out bringing Eli back either as the backup quarterback or as an advisor in the organization with another role within the organization. We wouldn't say whether it was coaching, advisory, whatever, but he's saying don't necessarily write off the Eli Manning Giants era yet.
Eli said he didn't want to come back right. as a backup. He may have a change of mind if nobody else is interested in him. Then he may say, you know what, I'll do one more year. Who knows if the kid doesn't get hurt or doesn't play well. They put me in for a couple games. I don't want to go out the way I did last year. But then again, he's asking for more of the same if he signs that one-year deal. I may have to do that if I'm Eli. Just have to sit there and just hope for the best then, I guess.
Does Eli seem like a guy who, A, wants to come back as a backup?
No.
Does he seem like a guy who wants to be in some sort of front office special assistant to the assistant to the assistant role? No.
I could see Eli being an ambassador for the New York Giants. I could see him out at the charity events. I could see him out representing the team. I could see him sitting in free agent meetings in the way that people do that in the NBA. I could absolutely see him in the organization. I do not see him as a backup. He has said, I don't want to be a backup. I don't want to be a mentor. I have no problem with Eli saying that. A guy who was in the league for 15 years, a guy who won two Super Bowls, zero problem if he wants to play on his terms or not at all. If he wants to be a starter with the Cincinnati Bengals or some bad team that needs a bridge quarterback before their hot shot takes over, I'm 100% fine with that too. It would hurt to see Eli in a different uniform, but if that's what he wants for his career, I'm fine with that. But as for could I see him in the organization in some capacity, absolutely. I don't see him coaching. I don't see him being their backup. But as a guy who sits in on free agent meetings and goes and does the yeoman's work on behalf of the organization, 100%. I could see the Eli Manning golf tournament where he goes out there on behalf of the Giants.
Yeah, I don't know if he's, you know, Peyton has not done anything. They say that Peyton didn't even want to do Monday Night Football because of he didn't want to be critical of his brother. Right. I wonder if the two of them are going to get together. Could you imagine Peyton and Eli? One is like a head coach. One is an offensive coordinator. I don't know if they'd want to do something like that, but it'd be pretty intriguing.
I'd like to see him do more ESPN promos from the hallways of ESPN in Bristol. Remember those?
Oh,
how funny were those?
Great.
They kept hitting each other.
They were awesome. I love that. They were great on that. Yeah, but I'm wondering if... if those guys just want to call it quits and just enjoy their, future or what.
Yeah, you know? I don't see Eli jumping right back into football immediately. He seems like the kind of guy that just wants to relax for 2 or 3 years. He might come back in 2024 or something, but he doesn't seem like he's in a hurry to get out the door, but I think he sees the handwriting on the wall.
No. I think Eli just does Eli want to put himself in a position where he could go be the quarterback of a bad team, be a bridge quarterback, but does he want to put himself in a position to get replaced again, especially in a place that's not New York? Again, Bengals are going to need a quarterback. They likely will draft Joe Burrow, and if it's not Joe Burrow, then it's some other quarterback, number one. Does Eli want to go there and face the same thing that he faced with Daniel Jones, where he gets 3 games to prove himself and then ultimately could lose the job? And it's one thing to lose it for the Giants where you live, your kids are, your wife is, you've been there forever, you have a legacy, but to go lose the job in Cincinnati and then sit there for 13 weeks, I don't know that that's in Eli's desires. So can he go to a place where he could have a job that he could hold?
If he's going to go to a place that he's going to have a job that he could hold, it's not going to be a very good team.
I would agree with that. 100%.
Unless Eli has a complete turnaround and he starts leading a team to the playoffs, I don't know if that's possible. I don't think it is. He'd have to take a hell of a pay cut, too, to go to a team and try to become the starter. I think if he wants to play one more year, maybe it's best served. He stays in New York and see if he doesn't get on the field because Jones isn't playing well or he gets hurt or they want to make a change or whatever it is. You get one more year in New York, and that's what you're used to. You know?
It would be interesting. And that's the other part of this is Joe Judge is the new head coach. Does he really want to come in and deal with the Eli Manning saga again? Does he want to deal with the Eli saga in year one? Does he want to deal with, John Mara being an Eli fan and now breathing down his neck? Does he want to deal with the fans who are Eli apologists and Eli loyalists? Does he want to deal with them? I would think for a head coach that's coming in here, He wants a clean start, and Eli Manning being there in a subsidiary role is not a clean start for him.
No, it isn't. All right, Brady, you want to go ahead and introduce Howard?
Yeah, so I had an opportunity earlier without you guys to speak to Howard Cross, who was a Super Bowl champion with the New York Giants, spent more than a decade with Big Blue, played there from 89 to 2001, has seen a lot of the New York Giants, and now he's on their radio broadcast team. Simply started out by saying, Howard, thanks for being with me, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. I appreciate you joining us. I guess yesterday, your first impression of Joe Judge based on that press conference?
Well, he did a good job. You know, he did the whole no-nonsense thing. He talked about a direction, how he wanted to play, what he believed in, some old-school chatter. It's all the stuff that, you know, that the fans want to hear. It's all the stuff that, you know, the organization wants to hear. Now let's see if we can figure out a way to get it all to, you know, manifest itself on the field.
Does that kind of old school, no nonsense approach, does that work in today's NFL, or do you need more of a player's coach, a hand holder?
You know, I don't know. And I'm not saying that for Joe or for any coach in the league. I just don't know. I think that people appreciate direction, people appreciate guidance, people appreciate coaching, and some people who don't, They just won't. He'll have to be able to mend and mold that mentality and that eagerness that he has to find, you know, what players will and what players won't do it. If you remember back when Coach Coughlin came aboard, that's Coach Coughlin all the way. But he had to eventually soften, get a player's council to get guys to kind of be on board with what he has to do. And it's going to be interesting to see, like, who are the quote-unquote real team leaders and where they stand and how they want to get started.
Howard, I can easily see young players buying in right away because young players are looking to prove themselves. I think the veterans, for me, is where Joe Judge needs to go right away and try to get their support, the Golden Tates of the world. How hard do you think it is for a veteran to buy into a message like that?
I mean, winning solves all problems. So if you can find a way to have that kind of mentality, and like I said, start putting some ducks, stringing some W's together, then all of a sudden it becomes the greatest thing in the world. Coach Parcells was the roughest, toughest guy that anyone knew, and as long as he was winning Super Bowls, no one really said that much. That's kind of the mentality. I think that this day and age we have too many people worried about their feelings and what's going to be said, and this, not just in this league, but, you know, basketball, baseball, wherever you go, you see there's too many guys worried about their feelings, and it comes from the way we kind of bring our kids up, whether it's AAU sports or travel baseball or whatever it is. We try to make every kid an all-star, and we got to protect their feelings instead of like, hey guys, you got to get it done, or you're not doing a good enough job. That's the jump.
What did you think of the hiring of a guy who has largely a special teams background, served as a special teams coordinator for a number of years in New England? Special teams guys haven't gotten head coaching jobs historically in the NFL. What do you make of somebody making that jump?
I mean, you know, Harbaugh's got, what, two Super Bowls?
Yeah. So
I don't think it's that big of a jump. I think, you know, when you think about it in reality, he's the only coach, but the special teams coach is the only coach that deals with the entire team. So he's not dealing with offense, he's not dealing with defense, he's dealing with the entire team because basically everybody on the team has a role in some way or somehow in special teams. You know, even looking back at Alabama, Tool was the holder for his entire career until he got hurt. So if you got your star quarterback holding, that's everybody involved in the team. There have been times in the past where you see backup quarterbacks block kicks. So that's everybody on the field is on one of those teams.
Howard Cross with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. Super Bowl champion with the Giants, played more than a decade in New York. And again, he's here with us on the Huddle. Howard, what did you, the Daniel Jones factor here, the idea that they needed to hire an offensive guru solely to work with Daniel Jones, they didn't do that. What did you make of that dynamic?
I think the offensive guru thing was a little overstated. I don't think the team was struggling as much as everyone believes it was on offense. They scored a lot of points. They just couldn't get a lot of stops. So I think that being able to bring in a guy who's going to be able to run that defense and control it and get it under, you know, get those guys playing and maybe make some stops and find a way to get some stops is going to help the team out greatly. I think that the whole offensive guru thing, it doesn't really fit the mold because the team did okay with the offense. It wasn't, they just weren't able to stop anybody. They lost some games like 40 like 40 to 41 kind of games, or almost 50 to 49. Like that's, you know, that's Big 12 football. You can't have that.
So, you know, that's the last two coaches the Giants had, Ben McAdoo, Pat Shurmur, they were also the offensive play caller. I have argued that I think when you have a head coach that's doing that or having that dual role, it kind of takes away from some of the other attention to details. Do you like the fact that Joe Judge isn't going to be married to one side of the ball on game day?
Well, like I said, it's an interesting dynamic. I think that it's a great thing that he's going to be, quote-unquote, the head coach, and the head coach is going to deal with the game and what's happening on the field at all times. So you're right, when you're an offensive coordinator or a defense coordinator and you're also the head coach, you kind of lose a little bit of the moment, because when you're on the field, or when your group is on the field, especially if it's offense, you're calling every play, you got the down and distance, you're trying to figure out what happens. Well, someone jumps offside, now you're first and 15, now I got to get a play for that. You get out of rotation, what you're calling, why you're calling, and if something's going on the defense, you may not have the time to go turn your back on the offense and run over there and say, hey, guys, let's get it together. What's going on here? Then you see so-and-so. So it's kind of hard when you're the offensive coordinator, or if you're the defense coordinator. It's the exact same thing when they're out there calling the defense and trying to get stops and trying to figure it out. You can't turn your back and run over to the offense and go, okay, guys, we're going to need you right here. We're going to get our stop. Let's go while the game's going on.
At this moment, are you a believer in Dave Gettleman?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, and I don't know why I know why. We don't give anyone a chance anymore, and it's just we want instant success. Everybody is I call it the Sports Center highlight world, where we think 30 seconds of whatever it is, I saw a dunk, I saw a goal, I saw whatever it is. But we don't see all the work that goes in to get that done. Some, you know, there was a book where they say you take 10,000 hours to get something done, or 10,000 attempts. Well, you don't get to see the 10,000 attempts or the 10,000 hours. What we want is the dunk. What we want is the touchdown pass. What we want is, you know, the split glove save in the Stanley playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. We want that. But we don't look for the work that goes in, and people complain about it constantly. Twitter is a great tool, but it gives a lot of voices to people that may not know what they're talking about.
Yeah, right. So
you got to like give people a chance to build what their vision is and go forward. The problem is also you have two owners that, you know, really, really want, two different families who really, really want wins. So their patient growth went thin. So it's tough. It's a tough business and a tough world. So I think he's, you know, doing the best job he can. If given time, he probably can build it the way it should be. But if he has any more stumbles along the way, and it's not him, but if anyone else stumbles along the way, he'll have a hard time.
Howard, I got to ask you this, too, before we let you go. A lot of Patriot fans in our area who are obviously in tune with Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick on those Giants staffs for a number of years. Take us back to an early Bill Belichick.
Bill was detail-oriented, extraordinarily detail-oriented, and as Lawrence would say, he was always about the sky is falling. So if you don't do this, the sky is going to fall. He definitely had a Chicken Little approach to football, and it sounds kind of funny or demeaning, but it really isn't. It just meant that, hey, every detail, if you don't do it, something bad is going to happen. So he kept the bad from happening. He also had players like, you know, Lawrence Taylor and Leonard Marshall, Carl Banks, Harry Carson, even before that, that helped him with that moment. But his view of it was that from when I would watch the practice and listening to him coaching the guys, it was the sky's falling if this isn't happening. And the guys were like, you know, okay, coach. And they detailed it out every step of the way, and he did it.
He's Howard Cross. He's a Super Bowl champion, now on the Giants radio team. Howard, we appreciate the time. A new day for Big Blue, and hopefully they can get back to the days of yesteryear that you were a part of a Super Bowl win. So, Howard, we appreciate it.
Yep, I hope that Joe figures out the sky's falling, too, so that'll help the team out.
Howard, thank you.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, good interview. Yes. Thanks to Howard for stopping on by. Sense of urgency is what everybody wants out there. Yep. Players, former, past, present. And fans, they all want a sense of urgency.
And you get the feeling Joe Judge is probably going to be a guy who will deliver that kind of thing.
It's really interesting, though, what Howard said when I asked him, do you believe in Gettleman? He said, yeah, I do, and it stinks now, basically, that nobody ever gets any time to see a process through. Now, I understand the idea of not wanting to waste 5 years with something that's clearly not working, but you oftentimes do see people and teams and organizations ready to move off players or coaches after 1 year, year and a half. And that doesn't seem fair either. Again, I get not wasting 5 years if it's not going anywhere. But Bill Belichick got 4 years in Cleveland before they made the playoffs. And you think about that now, he would never be given that chance.
No, but sometimes when you know it's wrong, and you move on, Brady. Yeah, especially with personnel.
But Belichick, by year four, was getting his system in. They made the playoffs, and they were doing well. And then ultimately the franchise moves, he gets fired, et cetera. But if that were today's climate, he would have been fired in 2 years, and you never get Bill Belichick.
My advice is don't take 4 years to implement your offense. Take 2 years to get your system in, because you don't got 4 years.
But you don't even get that sometimes.
Look, no, you're right.
Steve Wilkes in Arizona last year, Freddie Kitchens this year. There are others that have not been given that same amount of time.
But when you lose the clubhouse, or when you lose the players, then you're going to be gone after one.
Interesting. Chris in Champlain says Giants are tanking for Trevor. It'll be hard to watch. Does this feel like a 2-14 kind of team?
No.
Next year, it doesn't to me.
No, I hope it's not a 2-14 team. I don't think it's going to be a 2-14 team.
I don't
team.
Either. I think that could easily be 7-9, if not 8-8.
Look, and remember how bad the rest of the NFC East was this year. I don't believe in Washington. Philly, I think, is certainly good. I like Wentz, and when he's healthy, and that's still a big if for him, but when he's healthy, I think he's very good, and they'll get more healthy weapons around him. Dallas, I think, has pieces as well. So I think the division looks a lot better next year, but there's an opportunity for the Giants with the players they have and the draft position that they have to certainly make some noise, and they have $80 million in cap space.
All right, Tom Fairtire, text on if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we have coming up next?
Football Talk Friday. We'll go through the divisional round.
That's next. You're in the huddle. What about point three of the game?
The show is great when the mic is on, but how about when the camera is on too? Find out, because you can watch the show each day streaming online at twitch.tv/1013thegame.
Good evening, everyone. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game going along on this Friday. It's almost a week. Well, it's a weekend for a lot of you guys out there, not for us. We have to put in the extra hour.
What?
We have to put in the extra hour.
When?
Well, we go till 6. Oh, the weekend starts at 5 o'clock.
Not everybody gets out of work at 5.
Oh, yeah, they do.
A lot of people do.
Oh, yes, they do.
I have to say this. So I got pizza for you guys today from Costco.
Yes, thank you.
Steak.
I've never seen more people not working at 1 o'clock on a Friday. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. Costco, you would have thought was the epicenter of the world at 1 o'clock on Friday. Who are these people that have jobs that are either off Friday or have just off hours? How many of you are out there that actually have this?
Yeah.
You set that one right up.
Yes, she did.
I did.
Zing.
I've never
Marcus
seen,
over to Spanier, score.
I've never seen more people in one spot on Friday afternoon in a store. I mean, it was ridiculous. Luckily, all I was doing was going to the food court. But if I had to buy like one item, you would have had to wait like 20 minutes.
Yeah, but you've seen the forecast, right? And I mean, everybody up here panics. I don't know why. It's not like they haven't lived through it forever. But, you know, it's supposed to be really weird this weekend and not real drivable, at least on Sunday and late Saturday night.
Yeah, people are loading up like we're getting ready for a tornado.
Right. Stormageddon.
I'd be just like the principal on Ferris Bueller's Day Off. If I owned this station, I'd be going to Costco and looking for my employees, going, oh, you're not selling today, are you? How come we're here at Costco, you know?
Smith.
Well, you know Jones. The story. John Becker did this, and my old baseball coach did this too. Becker goes downtown on weekends to see if he can find any of the UVM players out there doing things they're not supposed to be doing.
Oh, how funny.
Are you supposed to say that on the radio?
He said it in an interview.
Oh, okay. So funny. I guess it's okay.
Yeah, but my old college coach used to go downtown and see who he could find and who he could get in trouble.
Oh, that's great. I love that. You ever get in trouble?
No. Although, I remember my last practice ever. My last practice ever, we had to do nothing but run because I still to this day don't know who it was, but someone on our team was going out like the night before a game and just getting real drunk, and he found out about it.
Ugh.
And he was like, he just made us run like in miracle until someone would cop to it, and nobody copped to it. And we're getting to the point where like everybody who'd ever had a beer was going to talk to him. Just like, hey, if you're talking about me, yeah, I did it. So I had to tell him, I went up to him and said, hey, I had a beer with my dad on senior day. Like, if that's what we're talking about here, right, then like, yeah, like, okay. But he's like, no, it's not you. It's someone way worse. Say something way worse than that. We never found out who it was. But my last practice ever was but a running fest.
You think the trainers at Orange Theory find out that the folks were downtown the night before? I mean, we've had some classes where I just went, what did I do to deserve this? Like Thursday, yesterday. Hey, everybody, run really fast forever. Go.
Geez. I love that. All right, Brady, let's get to the whatever we're doing here.
Well, first off, the mistake of the day. 802-655-6672. Embroidery Works, Joanne's Uniforms, Heinenberg Drive, Colchester. And now, Football Talk Friday. All right, we've got a six-pack of questions, but again, now it's weird without the Patriots being here. We don't have any Patriots-related questions. So how about this? The playoff game that you're most looking forward to this weekend.
Oh, actually, that's your Seattle Seahawks taking on Green Bay. The Packers going to be a little bit of light snow. I don't know if the weather's going to have that much effect on the game, but that's what I love. Packers, playoff time, snow. Your Seahawks were, by the way, and I'm not making this up to get you mad, Brady. They say the Seahawks, seriously, statistically, have been the luckiest, they use the word the luckiest team in NFL history. And they went, they crunched the numbers, they did all this number crunching and said their plus-minus ratio doesn't make sense for a team that won this many games. It's never happened before. They keep waiting for them to lose. I don't know. But to me, that's the game I'm most looking forward to, Packers and the Seahawks.
Well, since we only have four to choose, and you've taken one, Brady's already taken one, too, on the sheet of paper in front of me. So I'm down to two. And I'm actually kind of intrigued as to whether Tennessee can stay with Baltimore, because I've been saying every week for the last how many weeks, it seems like, nope, they're playing Baltimore. It doesn't matter. Whatever the spread is, take Baltimore. I don't care if it's 20, minus 20 for the Ravens. And I feel like this is a sure thing. I think the spread is minus 10, and I think Baltimore is going to crush them. But a little piece of me is interested in seeing what in the world Derrick Henry can do against that defense. See if he can even partially replicate what he did against New England last week.
I'm most looking forward to Minnesota and San Francisco. I think that's going to be a great game. I think Minnesota is really good. I don't love Kirk Cousins, but I love Dalvin Cook. I love Stephon Diggs. I love Kyle Rudolph. I love Adam Thielen. I love the physical nature of that defense for Minnesota. I pick San Francisco because of the week off and because they're at home. But I ultimately think, you know what? No, I take that back. I'm not picking San Francisco. I got my sheet right here. I'm picking the Vikings. And I'm picking the Vikings. I think they're going to win in spite of Kirk Cousins. I don't love Cousins, but I love everything else. And I don't know that I trust Jimmy G in a big game because we haven't seen Jimmy G in a big game. So I'm picking the Vikings. There's my hint to you there. That'll be the upset of the weekend. How about the game that you think will be the best?
I think that's going to be San Francisco, Minnesota.
Yep.
If there's going to be an upset, I can see it coming there. I think that's going to be a one-possession game. Though I think a couple of them could be a one-possession game. San Francisco, some people don't buy. I still think they're the real deal, but Minnesota's loaded offensively. Is Thielen playing in this game? I don't know.
Looks
so.
Like it.
Okay.
He sprained his ankle, but
yeah, but right. He's not 100%.
He hasn't been much this year.
Either way, can Cousins get another victory, this time on the road at San Fran? But to me, that game will be the best.
I agree. It's going to be fun. Garoppolo and Cousins, all that play action, and it's going to be a good time. What George Kittle can do against that Minnesota defense, it's looked pretty good. San Francisco, by the way, is 112-1 against the spread as a favorite of at least 6 points.
That's crazy.
112-1, and they are favored in this one by more than six. In fact, it's seven, so that's something to keep in mind. You know, you look at those numbers and you go, oh, it's just a small sample size. Not really. That's 14 games, and they've lost 12 of them.
For me, I think the game that's going to be the best is Chiefs-Texans. These two played a good game earlier in the year. I know Mahomes didn't play. That was a Matt Moore game, and Houston went out and won, but I don't see him doing it again. I think the Chiefs are going to win. They have a lot of firepower on offense. I don't trust Bill O'Brien in a big spot, but he did bring his team back from the brink last week. I think this game is a high-scoring affair, but I like Kansas City to win. I think it's going to be a good game. How about the player you want to watch most this weekend? There's a lot of choices, a lot of firepower this week. How about player you want to watch most?
Lamar Jackson for his playoff. What are you going to do, big boy? Now the whole world's watching. Can you take Baltimore to the Super Bowl? Everybody says you're the favorite.
He did play in the playoffs last year.
Oh, actually, my bad. I don't know why I said first. Why did I say first time?
First playoff game this year.
Yeah, I don't know why I said first time. But anyway, let's see what you can put out there. Everybody wants to see if you're good enough to take this team to the Super Bowl. So I want to see what happens.
Player I want to watch the most, same as, you know, as much as I hate to see him again even playing. I was hoping he'd be playing golf this weekend. But Derrick Henry, I mean, can he do what he did against New England? Baltimore has the fifth best run defense at 93.5 per game. I expected to break a long run at least one, and the question becomes something they didn't have to deal with so much last year, or last week, I should say, in Foxborough. What if they, as I expect they will, gets behind 14-3 at the half? Then what do you do? Do you rely on Tannehill, who had 75 yards passing last week, or you just keep handing the ball to Derrick Henry?
Arnie, we're both even. We each made a mistake. You made your mistake on Lamar Jackson. I made my mistake, and I caught myself at the end of it, but I still finished my incorrect thought. Matt Moore did not play against the Texans. That was Mahomes, but he was limited. He had just come back from injury. I had to rectify that because it was going to bother me the rest of the weekend.
Wait, I didn't make a mistake.
Lamar Jackson played last year in the playoffs against the Chargers, and they lost. Yes, and then the Chargers went to Foxborough and got beat by the Patriots.
Okay.
That I know I'm right about.
Right.
I said incorrectly that Matt Moore played against the Texans, but I knew I was right about that. Player I want to see most this week is Aaron Jones. The running back for the Packers has been special. If that weather is as snowy as you say it is, then the running game could be a big part of it. Aaron Jones has come out this year, and he's had games where he's rushed for 134, 154, 100, 107. He's become a bigger part of this offense in both rushing and the receiving part of the game. And if Rodgers can't go deep down the field in inclement weather, look for a whole lot of Aaron Jones. He might be able to just single-handedly torch that Seahawks defense. How about the player you have the most questions about heading into this weekend?
No, even though he's led the league in passing for the games he started, Tannehill.
Yeah, that's mine too.
I mean, what's this guy going to do?
Yep.
You know, is it for an encore performance? Can he do it again? I mean, you won at New England. You pulled that off.
Well, no thanks to him, really. I mean, he basically handed the ball off and relied on the defense.
72 yards passing.
And a pick.
Yeah, yes. You're going to need a little bit more than that this time around. So I've got to say Tannehill.
It's fascinating because Baltimore blitzes on the stats say 48.7% of opponent dropbacks. That's the highest rate of any team since the 2013 Cardinals. They turned those blitzes into an NFL best 16 takeaways. But Ryan Tannehill threw 7 touchdowns and only 1 interception against the blitz this season. Something's got to give. It'll be fascinating to watch.
For me, it's Kirk Cousins. I don't know if I'm getting the guy last week who exercised his big game demons or if I'm getting the guy who had the reputation that he couldn't win the big game for all the years prior to that. Cousins has been hit or miss this year in a lot of cases. He's had some really good games where he's thrown for 300+. He's also had games where he's thrown for 98 yards, 174, 122. I mean, last week against New Orleans, he played well, 242 yards passing. That's great. Can he do that again? Can he go on the road again and get a big win? Kirk Cousins, I still have questions about. Last one, which quarterback has the best weekend overall?
Don't steal mine again, please.
I'm sticking with Lamar Jackson.
Okay, good.
I think the guy goes ahead and does tear him up a little bit, has a great game on the ground and passing, and puts up some big numbers. So I'm going to go with him again after taking the week off.
I am going with Deshaun Watson. I have no idea what he's going to be able to do. The Kansas City defense has been a lot better against the pass, especially rolling out quarterbacks. I mean, rollout quarterbacks. Watson has 60 completions and 10 touchdowns on rollouts this year to lead the league, but the Chiefs' defense has tightened up there of late. And the thing is he's going to have to do something because I suspect that Chiefs offense is going to roll up about 30 points. So he's probably going to be playing from behind.
Well, the reason why the Chiefs offense is going to play well is because of my quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Okay, the Texans are decent on the back end of their secondary, but they don't get after you a lot at the first and second levels of the defense. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to have a big game. They've had a week off. Andy Reid is great off the bye. Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce. There's some soft spots in that defense. If Josh Allen looked great in the first half last week, what's Mahomes going to look like for a full 60 this week? Patrick Mahomes has the best week of any quarterback. The last one's going to be our predictions, but we should just take a break and do that.
All right, we'll do predictions, and then we'll get to Last Story Standing. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Get the latest NFL headlines.
We got to be better on third downs. We got to stay on the field.
A huge emphasis for us to make sure rush, pressure, the whole thing, that we could affect the quarterback.
Got our hands on some balls, so that was, it was good too.
And it's just, making sure fundamentally we're sound in all aspects of the game.
This is your home for the gridiron.
101.3 The Game.
All right, good evening, everyone. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Let's get to our football picks for the playoffs, Brady. Where do you want to start?
Well, I want to start with the first game of the weekend. How about Saturday, Minnesota-San Francisco? Big matchup in the NFC featuring the number one seed.
It's going to be close. I was thinking that there could be an upset, but when it's all said and done, I always told you, getting the bye week is too much of an advantage. San Francisco got to rest, wait around. Minnesota, of course, had a good game, good victory. Finally got Cousins over the hump there. Can they do it again against San Francisco? No, but they will come close. Final score in overtime, San Francisco 30, Minnesota 24.
Yeah, I think we're all going to agree this game's going to be a nail biter. They are both, I mean, it's very evenly matched. Both have dominant running games, defensive line play. The Vikings coming off the overtime win last week. Did you realize every 49ers game since week 13 has been decided by a play in the final 10 seconds, including three on the final play?
Oof, yeah, I mean, game against Seattle and Baltimore.
I'm going Minnesota in the upset, 28, San Francisco 24. I have to say Minnesota because I picked them to get to the Super Bowl preseason.
Well, I'm going with the upset, too. This is the only upset of the week, and I like I'm going Minnesota 27-24, and I just trust the run game of Minnesota to travel. I love Dalvin Cook. I think he's so physical. I think he gets downhill. Madison coming out of the backfield, good in the screen game, good on swings. I don't think Cousins will be great. I don't think he has to be great. I think he'll make enough good throws to get the ball to his playmakers, but ultimately I think the running game will carry Minnesota. This, if you're looking for the upset, this is where I'm going. Minnesota 27-24. How about the late game on Saturday, Tennessee-Baltimore?
You know, kind of crazy, because I did tell you I am a little concerned about if Lamar Jackson's, you know, going to have a phenomenal game. I think he's going to put up big numbers, but remember, the Titans did such a great job against New England, and I know New England obviously has a problem with the offense. I'm thinking that this game is going to be a little bit lower scoring than people think. Now, the over-under is 47. I have it right around there. But again, I have it a close one, and I think Baltimore wins in overtime, 26-20. They get that last touchdown in overtime to win the game.
No contest. I've been saying it every Ravens game since about week 5. Baltimore 41, Tennessee 17. I don't think Derrick Henry or anybody else for Tennessee is going to matter. I think the Titans are in an I'm-just-happy-to-be-here mode after the win in Foxborough.
I'm going 38-14 Ravens. I haven't been huge on the Ravens all year. I still think they can be beaten if you get a team that can play offense and can keep Lamar Jackson off the field and can shut him down on defense. I don't think Tennessee is that team. 38-14 Baltimore. How about the Sunday games, the early one, Houston at Kansas City?
Yeah, this is my one blowout. I don't think the Texans can keep up with Kansas City. I just, look, I as much as Deshaun Watson's a really good quarterback, he's not a great quarterback like everybody's making him out to be. He doesn't have enough to keep up with Kansas City offensively. I got the Chiefs winning 34-16.
Yeah, Houston ran 83 plays, scored 31 points when the Texans were in Kansas City in October. You know how much that matters? I don't think it matters at all. I think Mahomes has a huge day against that Houston defense. Somewhat close, bit of a shootout, but I think Kansas City wins it easily 35-20.
I'm going 31-24. I think it's going to be a game that lines up to be one of the best. You know, I said it was going to be the best of the weekend. I think even though I've got Minnesota, San Francisco being a closer score, I think Houston, Kansas City is going to be a great game. I love Watson. I love the kind of flag football improv that he plays with, but I love Mahomes too. I think the offense too much in the end. Chiefs 31-24. Late game, the one I care about most, Seattle at Green Bay.
It's a little bit of a combination here. As much as I'm surprised that Seattle's gotten this far, and I do believe a little bit into the numbers where they say they're the luckiest team this year. Green Bay, it's not that I don't like them, but I'm wondering if they're as good as advertised or as good as that number two seed. And people kind of saying this is like the number two seed that people have less confidence in the history of football. Yet I still think they win, but it's going to be a close one. I got a 27-23 Green Bay.
All these crazy 35-20, 41-17 high-scoring blowout games don't apply to this one. I think the weather's going to stink. What an amazing prediction at Lambeau Field in January. Russell Wilson, that place has been a house of horrors for him. Yeah. You would know.
I mean, he had five picks, I think, the last time he was there.
Five picks in the 2016 game, and he has 10 interceptions overall in seven games against the Packers. That's the most against any single opponent. Therefore, if you could stifle Russell Wilson with all the injuries on the offensive side of the ball for Seattle, I think that's a huge problem. Green Bay 17, Seattle 9.
Seattle can't stop anybody. Final score will be 34-20, Packers. I hope I'm wrong. I hope to see you Monday with a better story than that, but I'm going with Green Bay 34-20. Now it's last story standing.
Wacky or insightful? We've saved the best for last. It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, Last Story Standing, powered by Vitol Wireless, voted the fastest internet provider in Vermont, an internet plan starting at $10 per month with no contract required, VitolWireless.com. I'll give you this story. You don't have a lot of time. There's a diner in Denver, Colorado. You go there for breakfast, $8 for breakfast burrito seems reasonable. Yes. They do charge an extra $2 for bacon. A Denver omelet was $10. Oh, 38 cents extra. What's the 38 cents extra? You probably think it's not a big deal.
Ketchup.
No, they charge you for every stupid question that you ask, 38 cents.
Nice.
So if you ask something stupid to the waitress,
right.
Like, I don't know, how many eggs comes with that?
Right.
38 cents charge.
Are the eggs yellow?
Yes. For every stupid question you ask, they charge you. They were going to do 45 cents, but they didn't want to gouge the customers.
Oh, you can't tell
so
me
38 cents.
You can't tell me people don't purposely walk in there and ask a cavalcade of stupid questions.
Of course they do, but it runs up the bill. They get a bigger tip. So there you
awesome.
Go on that. Brady, let's wrap everything up. Once again, thanks, everybody, for the ratings. It was certainly quite a surprise.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You guys helped make us the number one rated show in our entire marketplace in the afternoon session. So afternoons 3 to 6, we are number one. It's all because of you.
Yeah, so we thank you. What's on the radio tonight?
UVM Men's Hockey. They're home against the Big Green at Dartmouth at Gutterson. The pregame show is about a half hour away on 620 WVMT.
How many interns today, Brady?
Just intern Danny.
So we thank him. Again, thanks to everybody that made us number one. We certainly do appreciate it. Be safe out there. It's going to be some nasty weather.
Yep.
We'll see you Monday. See ya.